coming to you live from my apartment. It's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's the guy who's no ordinary podcaster, Rob Sesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to a Survivor edition, pre-finale edition of Rob Has a Podcast. I am Rob Sesternino, joined by Nicole Sesternino.
Hello.
Nicole, how are you today?
I'm good. Is this really a pre-finale edition, or is it just
I mean, it's the show before the finale.
Okay.
The finale is coming up Sunday night. It's Thursday today. We're about 72 hours away from the finale.
Oh my God.
It's all closing in. Uh-huh. We're going to have all of our answers. Is Boston Rob going to pull this off?
Uh-huh.
Is Boston Rob going to get screwed by the jury? Is Boston Rob not even going to make the final three, which would seem pretty unlikely at this point?
And more importantly, is God watching?
Is God watching Survivor?
Yes.
We are going to have the answer to all of these things in about 75 hours from now.
Oh my God, I can finally sleep.
We can finally sleep. It's been a very exciting week. We did several podcasts during the week.
I only did one.
Well, yeah, you only did one, but we did the show. I did the show with Aaron Lobdell last week.
Uh-huh.
Then I talked to Jeff Pittman from the True Dork Times on Saturday.
Yes.
I talked to Gordon Holmes on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
We're back talking to a Survivor again.
Yes.
And then I don't know if we're going to do another Survivor show before the finale. Probably not.
But who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
You know, I have a couple of, you know, people that I ask to be on the show that I wait to hear back from. And if they ever say they can, I'll get on right away.
Okay.
Do a podcast at any time. Emergency podcasts can happen.
We have some free time.
We have some free time. Not really. So we're going to do the podcast on Sunday night. Mm-hmm. Get ready, everybody.
Did we figure this out yet?
I figured it out in my head.
Okay.
I haven't told you because you wouldn't understand.
Because I have a small brain.
No. Because it's not 100%. It's more
because you don't know what you're talking about.
In my head, I know how I'm going to do it. I just don't know exactly how it's going to happen. But here's what we're going to do.
Sounds like a load of crap.
It's not a load of crap. Here's what's going to happen. Sunday night, 11 p.m. Eastern time, we are going to do a live show following the Survivor finale.
What time is that? Pacific.
8 p.m. Pacific time.
Okay. Well, just so everybody knows.
Yes.
So we're clear.
So we're going to do a live show. I want to take your phone calls. Okay. So Sunday afternoon, I'm going to test it over the weekend.
Ooh.
I think I'm going to use Ustream, and we're going to broadcast live video. For the first time, we're going to do a live video podcast.
Oh, my God. The whole time?
Yeah. It's not really going to be a podcast. Actually, it will be a podcast because we're going to be recording. It's very complicated. Anyway, tune in live. You'll be able to see us. If you don't tune in live, we're going to record the audio.
Uh-huh.
You'll be able to hear it after the fact and probably see the video after the fact.
Probably,
if Ustream records. I think they do.
Yeah, Brenchel always has it on there.
If Brenchel can do it, I think we can figure it out.
I think we can do it, too.
Also, mm-hmm. I'm going to have a phone number for you guys to call.
Oh, is it a 900 number?
It's not a 900 number.
I'm not calling.
It's probably going to be an 818 number, to be fair. It's going to be an 818 phone number. You're going to call that phone number.
Uh-huh.
We're going to take your phone calls,
uh-huh.
and you're going to be watching us live. And we can finally say, coming to you live from my apartment.
Uh-huh.
It finally will make sense.
Okay.
So we're going to do all that. All you have to need to do is go on Sunday night after the finale is over. Go to robhasawebsite.com. It will be there will be clear instructions. It'll say live event, click on that,
uh-huh.
and then
it'll take you right there.
It'll take you right there.
Okay.
Okay?
So I have to get a new outfit.
That's all you have to do. And we have a big show today. We're going to talk to one on the Rob Has a Podcast Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
Yes, all stars. Stephen Fishback is going to join us.
Stefan.
And Stephen has a lot to say. He is very much he says Boston Rob is definitely going to win. He wanted to make a bet with me during the week that Boston Rob
is
going to win. Yes.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to talk with Steven and plenty of your comments and all that stuff. So you want to just get Steven on the horn?
Let's just dive right in.
Let's just see if we can get him. Let's see. See if, call his assistant and see if they can patch us through.
Is his assistant Courtney?
I don't know.
Hello?
Hello, is this Steven Fishback?
This is he. Is this Robin and Nicole?
Oh, Stefan.
How are you?
Both of you guys. I feel like this is a really rare treat.
We haven't podcasted with you in quite some time. It might have been one of the longer droughts that we've had of Steven.
Like 2 months.
Well, I've just been sitting by my computer waiting, so it's nice of you guys to call.
We talked with you after the second episode of Survivor this season. And now this is now the second to last episode. So yeah. I thought this was some good beginnings and endings if this was a screenplay.
Mm-hmm. Is there a pun using my last name that you would use to describe this?
Yeah, via text message I said this is like fish bookends.
Oh, Rob.
I wasn't going to. He brought it up. Wasn't going to say it. Anyway, Steven, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Yeah, we're doing very good. I'm very excited about this season. I saw you wrote on your People blog, which I try to always read, and I thought it was very good what you wrote today. But the title, you called it the worst season ever.
You know, some of it is just, you know, you got to have sensational
hyperbole.
Headlines to sell blogs. But, you know, here's my thing, and I think this is like, you know, it's a fairly good topic to talk about. You know, is this the worst season ever? My argument is that, you know, even a real horrible season like Fiji has a number of players who are sort of, conspiring against each other.
Right.
Whereas this, it's not even, there's no narrative. There's no drama. You know, it's one guy. I, you know, in my blog, I called it a character study. And, you know, there's this, Tom Clancy in his Jack Ryan books, you know, it's like his alter ego, right? So like
totally.
Jack Ryan goes from being, you know, a man against the odds to being, you know, the head of the CIA and the president of the United States. And so my theory is that, you know, Boston Rob is like Jeff Probst's survivor alter ego. And he's like, just like filled him with power and like given him, you know, free reign of the country.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
I totally agree.
And you know what a big Tom Clancy fan Nicole is.
Yes.
All the time.
I haven't gotten past Dr. Seuss.
But this is very interesting, what you said. The character study thing is very interesting. I really did feel like last night we were like living a day in the life of Boston Rob on the show.
Yeah.
There was very little of what other people's perspectives on things were. It was just like we were learning like the information as Boston Rob was learning the information.
Right.
Like it wasn't like we were seeing Ashley say, you know, oh, here's my plan. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go talk to Rob and this is how it's going to break down. You sort of find out what Ashley's thinking when she goes and talks to Rob.
Right.
And you see, you know, a little bit of like what Grant's thinking after the fact about how he trusts Rob so much, but it's more like their reactions to Rob.
It's the Rob show.
Yeah, it's more like Boston Rob has a reality show like Bethany.
Uh-huh.
It should be on Bravo, maybe. And they just follow him around,
uh-huh.
and you see like a day in the life.
Yeah.
Well, the after you know after like that whole when. You know, when Philip has that fight with Natalie and Ashley, you know, that, I mean, and then the only person who gets a confessional about it is Rob. It just seemed outrageous to me, you know, like none of the actual participants in the fight, you know, as far as I remember, actually spoke about it, which just is like, it's crazy.
Yeah. And I don't want to make it sound like I'm complaining about this or I have some problem with it. I actually thought this was one of the better episodes of the season last night. And I think it's really been interesting to follow the story through Boston Rob's eyes.
Right.
And is it so much because, you know, is it that you know, there's favoritism towards Boston Rob, or is it because are the other people just have so little to bring to the table?
Right.
And I think it's more the second thing than so much that it's just blatantly sucking kneecaps of Boston Rob.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of that.
Yeah, yeah,
but I don't think that's the whole reason.
Especially when Probst is there. There's a lot of sucking kneecaps.
Like, yeah. I don't think that the editors are saying, oh, there's all this great Grant stuff, but just throw it on the cutting room floor. We're not, we just need to go all, you know, eight out of every 10 confessionals has got to be Boston Rob.
Well, I think Grant just, like, must give horrible talking head because, you know.
Whoa.
He as, like, an alpha male.
I dated a girl like that once.
As an, you know, as really. Incredibly good in the challenges. And, you know, presumably as Rob's, you know, former consigliere, you would expect him to get a few confessionals. They just must be bad, you know? I mean, and you do have Rob who's like gives great confessionals and is incredibly self-aware and is just, you know, funny. So
let's not get carried away, Steven.
He's no ordinary man.
Yeah.
He did have some good lines.
Yes.
I don't know if you follow Super Jude on Twitter, but, you know, he blogs as well. And he sort of had the point that, you know, Rob is kind of in on it with the viewer. You know, so he's always sort of like winking at, you know, the viewer with everything he says. And, you know, then, of course, you know, he actually starts speaking directly to Grant, which was, you know, a step beyond. But I do find that, you know, he's very, and, you know, obviously having four seasons of, you know, to perfect his on-screen persona certainly helps, but he's very aware of the, of, you know, what the camera is doing.
That's a very interesting point that you bring up, Stephen. I was actually thinking it at the time that I feel like it's very rare when, and this was something that they even tell us when we're there, is, you know, you're not talking to the audience. Like, there's no mention of the TV show. Like, you don't see like, at no point during the playing of Survivor do the characters reference the fact that it's a TV show. They talk about the game, they talk about what's happening, they talk about their lives, but at no point do they talk about production or that the fact that Survivor is happening on a TV show. But last night you saw Boston Rob say, "Hey Grant, when you're watching this," which is odd. And I was trying to think, have there ever been any other moments on the show where the people on the show reference the fact that it is a TV show? I remember famously in the first season that there was a moment where Colleen Haskell was very excited about the fact that they were going to be playing a quiz show. And she's like, "Oh, I woke up this morning. I found out we were going to be on a game show. And then I just remembered we are on a game show." But I think there's very few moments where that happens.
Oh, I'm even surprised when people sort of like look at the camera and like give a wink or whatever, which, you know, does occasionally happen. Like, I think Suri did it in one of her seasons, and but that's very rare even. So, yeah, I mean, I'm wondering if, you know, the reason Rob gets to do that is because he does win and, you know, he's not getting the Russell edit. Oh, here's why he falls apart, you know, because he was so backstabby. He's being shown to be like incredibly generous, even when he's forced to, by the constraints of this horrible game, vote people out.
He's still getting kind of like a hero edit.
Yeah.
So I had set this up before we called you, that you are completely convinced that Boston Rob is going to win. Now, I'm not saying I'm not 100% that he's not going to win.
Right.
I was at one point, and I've softened my stance.
You know, I jumped completely over the fence, and I'm with Steven.
Yes!
How dare you? I'd say I'm about 75% that I don't think Boston Rob is going to win. It's not going to shock me if he doesn't win, and I actually think that it, like, I wouldn't say I'm not going to have my pom-poms out, but Boston Rob deserves to win the game.
Right.
He should win the game. I'm not going to be devastated if he doesn't win the game, but I'm more afraid that if he doesn't win the game, I'm more afraid of the drastic changes they may make. Like, when Russell didn't win the game, it was like, "Hey, Russell, that's tough. That's the game. The game's not flawed, buddy."
Yeah.
But I'm more afraid that if Ross and Rob doesn't win, they will try to change things too far, and America's going to have a vote.
There will be no more Redemption Island.
It's going to be like the Survivor Hall of Fame. There's going to be like a panel of like, you know, maybe Jeff and Dalton Ross and like a few other people are going to have a vote. Like, like, I feel like we could go too far the other way.
I feel like if he doesn't win, the editors are complete douches for doing this to us.
I don't know if that's necessarily.
No,
the editors are just doing their job. They're showing you what, you know, everything that's in the show happened. It's not like there's this great stuff that they're leaving. They're trying to make the best show they can.
But they're also putting in stuff like him speaking to Grant after the fact. Like, they wouldn't do that
with
anybody else.
But that was great stuff. I don't think that...
Was it? I think there were plenty of people before that have said something close to that.
What do you think, Steven? What's your take on that?
I agree with Nicole. I mean, you know, the editor's job is to, like, build a story. And who else...
Rose before hose, Fishback.
Rob, who do you think, you know, as the resident Survivor expert, think, did I win any points back?
Yes, sucking kneecaps.
Yeah. Who do you think that there's someone else who could win, or is it just like not Rob?
I think that there's a couple people that could win. Okay.
Okay.
This is my list of potential candidates that it's a short list. Mm-hmm. I've said that all along. I feel like Matt could win the game.
I think Matt has like a 5% chance.
And I think that Matt has better than 5% chance because I think that the fact that he was on Redemption Island the whole year, I feel like they would love to make that, like, you know, it's called Survivor Redemption Island. The guy was on Redemption Island the whole time.
Right.
That could fit in with the theme of the season.
and you had all the God stuff and every, like, we spent a lot of time.
I did think, like, you know, they wouldn't have been so heavy handed. Like, my argument used to be that Matt wins because of all that God stuff. Like, they wouldn't be so heavy handed, but it really fell off in the last couple of weeks.
It did. That's the thing. My Matt locomotive from a couple of weeks ago has really starting to run out of gas.
And now the mic train is rolling.
The Matt train, apparently Denzel derailed. Came along and attached another train to the back of it and started going the other way a little bit. It's not so unstoppable anymore.
Obviously, we just saw that movie.
Oh my God. Now, you know what? Courtney actually really wants to see that movie, and now it's ruined.
Sorry, Courtney.
I don't think that's anything that wasn't in the trailer.
Yeah.
So then the other person who I think could win this thing is Natalie.
I agree with that.
And I, especially after last night, I feel like she got a bit of a glamorous edit last night, especially when Rob was talking about how pure she is and what a great person she is. Yeah, we got a lot of like close-up FaceTime on Natalie. And
it was some butt time too.
Some butt time.
I actually thought all that was like unflattering. You know, there's like her about to puke, and then you know, I mean,
her
and
face
she was
down
like
shown as
being kind of stupid and just like completely out of her depth.
Yeah. Yeah. If you ever go out to dinner with Boston Rob, it's a good thing. And make sure you puke. Eat until you puke. Boston Rob should maybe have a job at a sorority after it's over, and he could just like work on eating disorders, hazing the pledges.
You guys were speculating that he's a manorexic, right? It was on this podcast.
We've talked about what a picky eater he is, which I'm sure Courtney has confirmed this. Yeah. I'm not sure if she talked about it on the podcast, but we talked about – I think that was pre-crispy rice.
Right.
But we talked about it with Tyson.
Mm-hmm. He confirmed.
He confirmed it. I saw it firsthand on the All-Stars.
Uh-huh.
And then Marquesas, right? He, like, lost a gross food challenge. So I was kind of hoping that – and I'm still hoping, but it's pretty unlikely – that they would, you know, force him to face a gross food challenge as sort of his kryptonite, his last obstacle to victory.
Yeah.
I don't think, have they ever done gross food this late in the game? No, I always thought it would be a good, like, final three challenge.
When was the last time they even did a gross food
I feel like
challenge?
They did it in Samoa. I'm not sure if they did it in Heroes versus Villains.
Yeah.
No, but I think Samoa. Okay.
Yeah, I feel like it came up in Samoa. Mm-hmm. And Russell was, like, really good at it.
Oh, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't care. I'll drink anything.
my feeling was that, like, last week, basically, with Rob, you know, they edited his finale package. Like, that bit where he's talking about, you know, oh, I've been doing this for 10 years, and I'm doing it for my family, and it's time for me to win, whatever. It's like, that's the clip they're going to play when he wins.
And that's, you know, if he doesn't win, he's getting the fan favorite then, just because of
and
that.
He'll deserve it. He'll deserve it.
He does deserve
it. I think it might be a little hard for me to stomach if Boston Rob wins and gets the fan favorite. I don't think that should be allowed.
I don't think so either.
They should give it to whoever was second. Or you get to pick. Yeah, unless it's me.
Yeah, right.
I think the winner should not be able to get the $1.1 million. I think that they should have to pick on the spot who gets the – give them the choice.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Like, they have to give it away to their buddy or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, the person who most helped them get to where they were. That's pretty good. That's a good idea.
It's kind of like Amber with the car.
Yeah, Amber with the car. She gave it to Sheehan. Yeah. Come on, Amber. Oh, no, she... And, well, the thing with that was that on the Survivor All-Stars finale, that Amber, she got to pick who won. Oh, because she already won a car.
Right.
There was another car that she was going to get to win the game, and then she got to pick who got it. And she couldn't even make that decision on her own. She had to turn to Boston Rob, like, who should I give the car to?
were you hoping that it would be you? Is this like a
not a sore spot. It just bothered me that she couldn't even like, just like, oh, yep, I'm the winner, and Rob got me. You know, it was a partnership and whatever. But then at that point, it was like, Rob, who should I give the car to?
Yeah, Jenna Lewis was pissed.
Jenna Lewis might still be pissed about that.
Well, I feel like Sheehan's a great choice because that was like the one pro Amber vote, right?
That's the only reason why she
I will hang up this phone on you right now. This is not.
I really like Amber, so I'm not going to be able to say anything.
We don't talk about what a great player Sheehan is on the show.
Yeah.
anyway. So back to what you were saying about the Boston Rob, that this is the proof that he wins this. And I know I think maybe I don't know if we were talking last week and you said this, or if you wrote it somewhere, but I just wanted to ask you. So let's say Boston Rob doesn't win,
right?
But he said all these things about how he's playing for his family and all these things, which I'm sure, you know, he really felt at the time. Now, when he's saying them, he doesn't know necessarily if he's going to win or lose. Do you think that they wouldn't put that in the show if he actually did say those things, but ultimately if it doesn't work out for him? Do you think they would leave that on the cutting room floor when it's such compelling stuff?
You know, there's just so much of it. He's just like, you know, he's so completely dominated this season that you don't even have a sense, really, of any of the other characters. I mean, you know, Ashley emerged as a character for the first time last night. You know, you can't – I mean, she's not obviously not a realistic winner. You know, Matt has had some character development, which is why he's the only other really viable option. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I see the sort of the point about Natalie, but
But, like, hear me out. Like, let's say that you were on some future season of Survivor, okay? And you were in, you know, the same scenario Boston Rob was in.
Right.
Like, would you not on day 35 talk about, wow, you know, this is so important to me. I made it all the way back here. I'm so close to the end. And so, you know, and ultimately it didn't work out, okay?
But the editors might
but
not,
it's
like,
really
you know,
compelling stuff.
Right.
Russ Landau may not like score that, you know, confessional separately, but you know, in a studio somewhere, that had like its own little soundtrack.
Really?
Yeah, there was like a sweeping music behind it. It was.
Could I download that on iTunes? The Boston Rob.
You probably could. Yeah.
The great Boston Rob monologue of 2011.
No Ordinary Man.
No Ordinary Man. Is that what it's called?
Do you guys read Jeff Probst's blogs?
I don't. Always.
Okay. I read it today, and I feel like his blogs are a little unfair. He was kind of predicting the winners, and like you're reading it, and you're like, you know who won.
Yeah,
so are you trying to trick me?
Yeah.
Or like I, when I'm reading it, I'm like so suspect of it.
With reason.
Yeah.
Interesting. Like I never really thought about this. It's almost like if we went on a vacation somewhere.
Right.
And like somebody like, but we like weren't telling people like how it was, and like, but people were interviewing us about how we think our vacation is going to be.
Right.
It's like, well, there might be.
Like, how could he be biased? He can't.
Are
be.
Are we voting people off on this vacation?
Like, yeah.
No, I don't mean
CBS is filming it. Yeah.
But it's interesting. I mean, I think he's really good at it.
I don't know, because when he in his blog he says Natalie can't win. So that makes me think, I think she won, you know?
Well,
and
yeah.
But would he put himself that far out on a limb like that?
I don't know. See, that's just, I don't think that he should be doing this.
It's like, I feel like we always have the things like in the present moment, but I feel like there's not, nobody ever goes back to compare like what Jeff wrote to what actually happened. I feel like that we rarely have that. And maybe there are some listeners that have been keeping track of this. Do you know of any stuff like this, Steven?
Well, you know, I was reading it, you know, throughout Heroes versus Villains, which I basically knew what happened. And I was reading it, obviously, through my own season. And I think, like, in Jeff's mind, he's telling a story. And part of that storytelling is his blog. Like, that's one facet of the story he's telling.
Right.
So he, like, hints at people, you know, maybe draws out certain qualities of theirs. Like, I think he sees it as, like, another medium to tell, like, the story of what happens in the season. You know, and so, you know, the point about Natalie, you know, he also says you know, in that one, he's like, if Natalie wins, these bitter bitches deserve to be drowned or something like that. So it could be like the story of the season could be, you know, Rob is the greatest human being alive. And yet still these assholes like can't, you know, don't know any better and awarded you know, Natalie.
We say a-holes on this podcast.
I'm sorry. I don't want the Johnny Fairplay. You know.
This will not be explicit. You have not earned the explicit tag yet.
Yeah.
I don't know where that border, where that line exactly is, but I know it when I hear it.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
So it's very interesting. And people also said that they felt like Jeff Probst was talking up Natalie at certain points in his blog this season.
Right.
Yeah, he was.
So I don't know. I do feel like Natalie, if the final three is Rob, Philip, and Natalie, which I don't think it's going to be, because Rob has said for a while that's what he wants the final three to be.
Right.
And I feel like if that's what he really wanted it to be, although we've seen so much Rob, I feel like normally if the plan is really going to happen, they tend to not tell us the plan.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For instance, we got so much of Ashley in the first 20, 25 minutes of the episode last night. Everybody's, we're voting off Ashley. It's a done deal. Ashley's gone. Ashley's gone. And it was like, it's never going to be this cut and dry from the beginning of the hour. This is who we're voting off.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, of course, Ashley is going to win immunity. They just wouldn't show you their hand that much.
Right.
And we've gotten a lot of Rob wants to bring Natalie and Philip with him to the end.
Right. But then there's that factor, Redemption Islands. Who's coming back and what's going to happen?
Who's coming back and what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. So do you want to try to figure out who's going to come back? I did this a little bit when I was writing my blog this morning of trying to figure out what's going to happen with who comes back from Redemption Island.
Okay.
Will that be posted before the finale?
I hope so. We'll see.
Who knows?
It's in God's hands now. I'm like Matt on Redemption
God's
Island.
God's on Redemption Island.
I type up the blog, I send it away, and then if by the grace of God, hopefully it goes up. I have a feeling it'll be up tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or by the time you're hearing this on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, I don't think Andrea is going to come back from the game. I mean, I think you have the three most dominant challenge players of the season now at one time, all on Redemption Island.
And Andrea panicked last night, too.
She was a little panicky.
Like, you know, if she wasn't up against Ralph, she would have lost.
Yeah.
She was freaking out. And by the grace of God for Andrea, the immunity or the Redemption Island challenge involved spelling for Ralph. So that was, I got so many letters.
Yeah. His puzzle was so crazy. It was like the letters were on opposite sides. Sorry, I almost stabbed you again.
And also like the shot of the three finished puzzles and his, which looked, he could have just dumped the pieces out just then, you know?
Like, I mean, he had like halves of letters up against like the edge of the puzzle. Like, how is that possible?
Yeah.
The tops of the letters, how could that be the top of the puzzle? And it seemed like it would be very easy to cheat at this game also.
You didn't think of that.
Especially once Mike had finished. You know, Mike was between Matt and Ralph. I mean, and yet still.
Still Andrea got it before, who probably could not have seen the puzzle, but yeah. But I don't think Andrea's in a good spot here.
No.
But it's the challenges, there haven't been no challenges yet that have been, you know, required challenge prowess, you know? I mean...
Yeah. It's been a little bit of like a trip to the... If you ever go to Seaside, like on the Jersey Shore, it's been a little like Carney games that they've been playing.
Yeah.
I've seen the TV show, The Jersey Shore.
Oh, yeah. Is Ralph the Carney?
He might be.
Yeah.
I think Ring Toss could be in the mix.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Or drop the ball into the fishbowl.
Ooh, that could be good. Bounce the ping pong ball into the fishbowl.
Yeah.
That could be good too.
That's also been a big part of my frustration with this season, is just that, you know, it seems like to fight your way back into the game, it should really require some effort. And the challenges of Redemption Island, it's like Connect Four, you know, and whatever, Chinese checkers.
Yeah.
There's no... All of the previews showcase these like duels to the death and like major like physical brawls. And I get that that's not fair to women, but maybe there would be some way to make it fair. You know, if there's like a wheel of challenges and like, oh, you happened to roll the brawl to the death, you know,
wheel of challenges.
I've been calling for a wheel of challenges on Redemption Island for quite some time.
I like that.
On this podcast?
I think I've talked about a wheel of challenges.
I may have stolen that idea from you.
Oh, what a jerk.
We might have talked about it already. We might have talked about it in a week two. Although, no, there was no Redemption Island yet at that point.
Oh.
Yeah.
But this is something that bothered me last night.
Uh-huh.
When they got to the challenge, they had the four Redemption Island people and the four people up on the bleachers or whatever, or the five people on the bleachers.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff is like, Andrea, you look pretty pissed off right now.
Right.
And she's like, well, Jeff, you know, I'm just pretty bitter about the guy I got blindsided in the game and I'm not happy. It's like, this is so unfair.
And then he's like, stare, look at them. look
yeah,
at them.
Yeah, Andrea, you got blindsided. How does it feel?
These are the people that
like in the old way of doing things, and I don't want to sound like an old person, but for 21 seasons, somebody gets blindsided,
you don't hear
from that person again until the final tribal council. And the people that are in the game are like, oh, do you think that Andrea's pissed off at us? It's like, I don't know. She looks kind of mad at on the jury, but it's hard to tell. And now it's like, everybody's like, okay, well, I know I've got to work Andrea over because she's obviously pissed.
Yeah.
There's too much interaction.
It's just sort of boring and anticlimactic. It's like, it takes all of the power. I mean, maybe they should just be gagged on you know, when they come to the Redemption Island.
There should be no talking.
Yeah,
it should
be like when
the jury walks in at tribal.
And what's going to happen?
Exactly.
Yeah, what's going to happen? Like, we've seen it a little bit this season, but we haven't seen anybody's just spot totally blown up. But like, what's going to prevent Grant from at the next? And we'll get to Grant. I'll keep it on Andrea.
No, like, right. Like, he could in this challenge be like, oh, which one of you
raise your hands if you voted for me?
Yeah,
like anything like that. You're absolutely right.
What I'm saying is that let's say Andrew, like Boston Rob, had confided something in Andrea. During the game about how he really wanted to vote Ashley out, or he was going to vote Philip out.
Right.
Like, what stops Andrea from blurting out, oh, and so Philip, just so you know, Boston Rob told me he was going to do this to you, and Ashley, you think you're tight with Boston Rob, but he wants to go to the finals with, you know, it's like you vote people out. Like, they shouldn't get to talk.
That's kind of what happened when Russell was at Redemption Island and Stephanie. Like, that was a major interaction that, you know.
Yes. I mean, at some point, if they keep doing this, somebody's going
to
just get their game totally screwed by somebody who they voted out or they blindsided on Redemption Island.
Mm-hmm.
My theory is actually that the initial game plan was to have less interaction. And then, you know, as Russell sets all precedents, for example, you're now allowed to destroy any clothes. And P.S., if I ever go back on Survivor, everybody's clothes into the fire.
Ooh, naked Survivor.
Ooh, I'm watching.
But anyway, so I think Russell, like, that interaction was so compelling that they were like, well, now we've got to do that with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. very interesting. So I don't think Andrea's coming back. Now, I ranked these in order of like chances to change the game.
Right.
Because let's say Andrea did win Redemption. She came back to the game. She's just the next one out. Unless she wins immunity.
Right.
She has no chance to mm-hmm. do it. And I don't think she has a chance. Like, unless the immunities really break right. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then Matt, I feel like Matt has a decent chance to beat Mike or Grant in the challenges, especially like, I feel like he has like the, if it's some sort of like, I could see it being some sort of an endurance thing. Like the last one time it was to get into the game, it was from Token Cheens.
Thank you, finally. I'm glad someone corrected you.
I don't know why you haven't corrected him.
I don't know why people get so worked up about this. Where's the H in that word?
Yeah.
Where's the second C?
You're so culturally insensitive to the to Portuguese language.
Yeah. Anyway, so it was an endurance challenge in that one. So I guess Andrea would have a fighting chance, but can't you see it being some sort of like 8-hour challenge for who gets back into the game?
That would be a satisfying end to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we saw Matt is good at this last time, and I feel like he has a better chance than, say, Mike or Grant at something like that.
I think Matt's done at this point. I think that really his train derailed.
I don't know. Let's see what God thinks.
Yeah.
He seems so, like, you know, just complacent, even in this last challenge. He did happen to, you know, come in second, but he just did not seem to care at all. And I'm sure that's just like his, like, incredible inner calm, but there was no focus. I mean, there was focus, I guess, but there was no urgency about what he was doing.
Well, no, that's why he's so calm in these challenges.
Because he doesn't care.
Yeah.
Because so, God, he's just, God is directing him.
Yeah.
It's like how I do this podcast.
God is directing
I just turn the microphone on and then I'm like on cruise control.
Oh,
God does the rest.
I thought it was more like Satan.
One or the other. I'm not sure. there's some spirits involved. But anyway, like, I feel better about Matt's chances to get back in the game than I do about his chances to change the game if he was to return.
Yes.
And I would love it if he got voted out 3 times.
That's got to be great. I mean, that's really, you know.
Would you vote for somebody who was voted out twice and came back at the end?
Who are you voting against, though? You know, it's never like four, you know, it's rarely for one person. It's who, it's them, right, versus, you know, who, what are the other two options?
Mm-hmm. I'll say it's Matt, Boston Rob, and Natalie. Yeah.
But it's like, you know, I mean, it's in the game. Did Boston Rob, you know, screw me over and vote, like, did I get along with Natalie?
But do you think overall, would you give the $1 million to somebody who was really not in the game?
And to answer that question, no, I didn't.
Okay, well, there's that.
there's your answer.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, you know, I mean, Rob has as many arguments against him. You know, it's his fourth. I mean, he's been voted out three times, or I guess twice. He's been voted out twice, too.
Right.
So, you know, this, everyone has, like, advantages and disadvantages.
Right.
And if it is someone like Matt or Mike, you know, I really could see them.
Yeah.
Sweet. There's no way it's Mike, right? Like,
well,
Mike's
the right story. He's been so invisible, but I feel like he has a great chance in the challenges. And I almost feel like he might be a decent person to come back in the game, because I thought he did a pretty decent job trying to rally up Matt and Andrea during the episode with the merge.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was great. I mean, I would love to see him get another chance.
I just don't see it happening.
Well, Probst, yeah, he said that if Mike comes back, he's the winner.
If Mike comes back, he's going to win?
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't he have to get through a couple of votes?
If he gets to
if
that
he gets
point,
to the end, he'll win.
He's the winner.
Okay.
Although he said that if Matt was in that situation and he wins, he would be the worst winner ever.
Oh.
That's what Probst said. Yeah.
Wow.
Those are fighting words.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, speaking of, I met Judd Burza. And
oh, how is that?
That he is the worst winner ever. I mean, they ought to have given those people, like, another option of just, like, setting $1 million on fire rather than giving it to him.
Like, wait, why? So you didn't like him?
No, I liked him. He was very nice. But he's, like, such – I mean, the Judd you saw at the finale was, like, the Judd I met, you know? It was, like, sort of this spacey and all over the place. I mean, the fact that people voted to give him $1 million, it was like, seriously, like, why are you?
Yeah.
Like, and I also, what is with you and the Survivor Nicaragua cast? Because then I saw on Twitter that you were talking about how much you love the Chase Rice buzzback video.
Are you sucking kneecaps?
Yeah, is that some kneecap sucking? What's going on there?
I've learned to appreciate the Southern culture. And I did enjoy that video quite a bit.
Were you hanging out with JT at a country western bar?
No, it's, you know, country music is universal. It's not just a Southern thing.
Yeah, and is it actually a, like, what happens in the music video?
I don't, you know, there's like a lot of like going sort of backwards in time a little bit, you know.
Ooh, time travel, Steven?
Exactly.
You just sold Rob.
Okay.
Prologue to our next podcast.
Yeah, Nicole, Steven and I are in the works for the Back to the Future podcast. I'm hesitant to mention it because then I'm going to get a bunch of tweets and Facebook messages and comments of like, so when's the Back to the Future podcast? You keep saying you're going to do it and
you're
it never happens.
You're still getting them, so might as well just say it.
Yeah.
Well, I need to rewatch Back to the Future 3. I really want to be versed in canon.
Yeah, well, now since you are on top of the Western motif,
yeah,
then
I can be the expert.
Should come pretty naturally. so, yeah, I couldn't believe that. I saw
that was the worst winner ever. I'm sorry. So go back to analyzing the Redemption Island picks.
Okay, so, and then finally, this is really the most interesting at this point, and this is why I think that Boston Rob actually made the wrong move last night. Now, far be it from me to disagree with a four-time Survivor player and potentially future champion,
uh-huh,
and as Jeff Probst said, the greatest Survivor player of our generation,
uh-huh,
which, not being facetious, far be it from me to disagree with Boston Rob, I think Rob made the wrong move. And this could be a million-dollar mistake that he made. How about that, Steven?
I don't agree with it. I mean, I was actually surprised that...
Let's take it one step at a time. Let's talk about Grant's return to... Grant going to Redemption Island and his... We'll just finish that out and then get into Rob's decision.
Okay.
So I think that Grant has a really good shot to get back into the game.
Right.
And I think Grant could come back into this game with a real chip on his shoulder.
Well,
and he is the one person who has the relationship. Like, Mike is a total outsider. Like,
right.
I don't think anybody would jump ship with Mike. But Grant has the ability to, if he comes back and he's got a real stick up his butt about Rob, he could potentially get the girls to say, oh, Rob was telling me the whole time he was going to the end with me. So he could screw you over just the same way that he screwed me. Mm-hmm. And let's take the bull by the horns. Let's get Rob out of here.
Yeah.
When it gets to, I'll win immunity at the final four. And then let's the three of us vote out Rob.
It's very interesting.
Yes.
I mean, that's really, you're right. Like that extra relationship issue definitely could be a game changer. That would be such a great, I mean, I obviously, you know, having watched the season, I want Rob to win. Like that's the only satisfying end of the season, but that would be that would be so exciting. You know, it would really give some sort of life to this season.
And the other decision that Rob was left with was to vote out Grant or to vote out Natalie. And so by, you know, deciding to do what he did, now there's four people left. And even though Rob is hoping that Natalie is really his, number one person or number two, however you want to do it. It always confused me on Star Trek: The Next Generation anyway.
I hate when I talk about Star Trek.
like, how is he number one? He's the number two guy on the ship.
Okay, back to the focus.
So anyway, so Rob is hoping that he has to hope that Natalie...
back.
He has to hope that Natalie is really with him and not really with Ashley. Because he could force, if Natalie wanted to, potentially a 2-2 tie.
Right.
If the person comes back from redemption, somebody easily could come back from redemption and grab, you know, Ashley and, Philip is crazy.
Yeah.
And I mean that in the nice way.
Not right. N-word crazy.
Yeah. Right. Or somebody could come back from redemption and grab the two girls. Whereas if Rob keeps Stealth R Us intact, he's got a three-person block. He's got Rob, Philip, and Grant. And that's pretty lock solid. And then it doesn't matter who comes back from Redemption Island. They've got a 3-person-2 advantage no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Rob's rolling the dice here.
But I would think that, you know, Grant is – I was actually – I have, you know, 2 points to make to that. First, I would think that Grant was always like – I was surprised that it took Rob so long to even consider Grant because he seems like the biggest threat to win $1 million. You know, he's been strategic and he's been – you know, incredibly athletic, and he doesn't have some of the stigmas that Rob has. You know, he's not a four-time player. He's not, you know, he hasn't been the one who's, you know, masterminded all the votes.
Yeah.
So I would think that keeping Grant around is incredibly dangerous. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Grant, in my mind, has, like, all the threat of a Matt coming back. You know, you have these two – and so by putting Grant on Redemption Island, you just have one big threat who's re-entering the game, whereas keeping him around, you've got to deal with Grant and the Redemption Island returning.
Well, yeah, it's more like Grant is the bigger threat in the final three to win the game, but Rob is safer now and has a better chance to get to the final three.
Right.
If he keeps Grant around in the short term.
Well, him and Grant, they were bros. Grant wasn't going to turn on him.
Yeah. But now it's almost by sending Grant to, and burning Grant the way that he did, he almost has hurt his chance to win $1 million because he could now potentially lose the Grant vote. And
right.
Grant could be, like you wrote, I think you had on a Facebook status a couple of weeks ago, is Grant going to be the most bitter jury member ever? Now, probably not, but...
still could be better. You know, I was thinking, and I was just talking with someone about this, that Redemption Island really could minimize the bitterness of jurors because your last memory isn't being blindsided. You know, it's because you then have a chance to get back into the game, and it's your own failure at the Redemption Island challenge
that is
what really ejects you from the game.
Hmm.
So you could have, like, less bitter jurors because of Redemption Island, which would ultimately be a good thing,
and
right?
Let me devil's advocate that. I think that it could make for more bitter jurors, Stephen. And I know that you have famously said that you think there is a flaw in the game and that you think the flaw in the game is the Ponderosa.
Yes.
But the Ponderosa, with all of its distractions and Connect Four board games and peanut butter and Oreos and the dragons and secret scenes and all this, you have at least something to distract you from sitting around all day and say, you know, that Boston Rob's a real jerk. He wouldn't let me sleep in the shelter, and then I got voted out, and I couldn't do anything. Yeah, I really hate that guy. You know what else he did? You know what else he did? Whereas at the Ponderosa, it's frowned upon so much talking about the game.
Mm-hmm.
In Redemption Island, all you have to do all day is talk about the game.
Because you're still in the game.
And there's no, hey, how many different flavors of Skittles can I eat right now?
Yeah.
That's interesting, but then let me devil's advocate.
Double devil's advocate me? How dare you?
You know, now your enemies at that point when you're in Redemption Island and focused on the game, on your bitterness, are the people around you. You know, you're competing against, you know, if you're Matt, you're competing against Ralph, Mike, and Andrea now. And so you're focused on them. And, you know, you're even competing for sleeping space, as we saw. So, you know, Andrea hits Redemption Island. And yeah, Rob just blindsided me, and now Ralph, this jerk, is making me sleep on the ground. You know, I mean, suddenly, like, the people, you know, you're tired, you're exhausted, you're hungry, all the things that, you know, Survivor normally does to you, and now that sort of frustration is being focused at sort of to these people.
Yeah, interesting. Mm-hmm. We'll see how it plays out on Sunday
we'll
night.
See. Yeah,
if this is going to be,
we'll see who's right.
Well, yeah. We'll see if it's a more bitter jury or a less bitter jury.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And being that the jury is almost completely one tribe, like, I could see this being very Samoa-ish, which was one of the more bitter juries, because it's really mostly one tribe. Like, It's going to be all of Zapatera.
Right.
And then there'll be three Ometepes on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, six Zaps, three Ometepes.
Uh-huh.
And the three Ometepes are all going to be people who got blindsided.
Right.
But they're the ones. I mean, it's interesting because, you know, seeing this cast's exit interviews, they're not angry at Rob. You know, they're angry at the zombies for not having independent thought and for not even, like, thinking about playing the game. So, you know, if Rob can get to the end with two of the zombies.
Ashley or Natalie.
Yeah, Ashley or Natalie or you know, I mean, Philip possibly. Mm-hmm. I mean, the interesting thing is that I have been wondering if the reason that nobody is even thinking about getting rid of Rob is because, like Russell in Samoa and Heroes versus Villains, what we learned was that people wanted to keep him around because he was actually a goat. Like, they all knew that he was the one to blame for everything and he was a goat. And I'm wondering if they're thinking that.
I don't even think they're thinking.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it.
Well, I've also thought that maybe everybody is saying, oh, nobody will vote for Rob. He won four times. Could Rob potentially be playing the Jimmy Johnson strategy and saying to everybody, hey, look, the jury, they're never going to vote for me.
No one,
I played four times.
That.
They're not showing it, but it doesn't mean it's not happening.
Right.
But at least last season when Marty, you know, Marty said that and he's like, we got to get rid of him because... Wait, no, that just contradicted what I said.
Yeah. No, Nicole.
Whatever. That's Nicole.
That's Nicole. We need a drop for that.
Yeah.
Very interesting. A lot of questions, but again, back to your character study.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this game, it's all hinges on Rob.
So what do you think is the worst season ever?
You know, it's hard to say because I think that there's a lot of everybody says that every season is the worst season while it's happening, with the exception of Heroes versus Villains, which at the time
everybody
was like, everybody loved it at the time. But I feel like I felt like during Nicaragua is the worst season.
That's the worst season until this season.
This is the second worst. Well, this is not, if we're trending downward, this is not a good thing for the future of this show that we have come to love.
Right. Yeah. I mean, has there been any strategy this season besides Boston Rob?
Not particularly.
No, and that's why we watch.
There was two big alliances on each tribe.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And basically, it was almost like in the ocean. It's like there's like, you know, Russell and his little alliance got eaten by the Zapatera 6 fish.
Yeah.
And then the Zapatera 6 fish met the Boston Rob fish, and that got eaten. And then just Boston Rob himself is like the T-Rex that just went into the ocean and ate that whole alliance.
I think Natalie's like the Nemo.
She's like, she's finding Nemo.
Yeah.
She's a guppy.
Do you think so? I mean, you think it all comes down to their throwing that challenge to get rid of Russell.
I think that having Russell around would only help this season, because I feel like this season was really exciting and they got rid of Russell.
Yeah.
And I mean, Russell, say what you will about him, is at least good TV.
Yeah.
And I feel like Russell, had he been around at the time of the merge, could have really wreaked some havoc. Like, if Russell's in Phillip's ear, You know, he could have planted a Russell seed or something. It was like, it's like Russell would have been better off had he been able to somehow win on Redemption Island for a few weeks, like lay low, let everybody, like Zapatera, he would have been safe from Zapatera trying to vote him out for a while.
Mm-hmm.
If he could have like actually won like four redemption battles or whatever,
right.
Then somehow came back into the game when Matt came back, I think that would have been pretty exciting.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, you see these, like, that was one of my biggest frustrations with Zapatera. You know, they would, like, go shuffle over to the Ometepes and be like, hey, you want to align with us? And they'd be like, no. No, we don't. And they're like, all right, sorry.
Yeah. See you later. We're not allowed to.
It's almost like if they bring Russell back again, they should just, okay, here's the big twist. It's day 19. You merge. Here's Russell. If he wins, he only gets $500,000.
Oh, I'd quit.
Wouldn't that be a good twist?
That would be a good twist.
Because it's like, then you can't just vote him off in the beginning and get rid of him.
But you can't do that.
No, why can't they? They bring Boston Rob back four times.
At least they played the whole game.
There's a guy who might get voted out three times who could win the game. Why not bring back Russell in the middle of the game and then he wins $500,000?
I mean, he's such a big target that if he can make it to the end, he would absolutely deserve it.
They do it on Big Brother, and I think they have done that on Big Brother.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for America's player on Survivor. Like, when are we going to have the person who we get to... I guess the production schedule is not...
Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah.
I think my twist is so far, this is the best one. This is what the next Survivor should be. It's like, what these... Like, Jeff can say, what these players don't know is that in 19 days, Russell Hantz is coming back into the game. Like, he's on the helicopter. He's coming back with a chance to win $500,000.
He would be such a target. No one's going to want him to
And Russell is, like, living on his own island for 19 days. So it's not like he's coming back at full strength.
Full nourished.
He's just, like, pacing around looking for idols on, like, some, like, Alcatraz somewhere. And then they bring him back on a boat.
Well, did you read that interview? Speaking of which, did you read that interview with, like, I don't know who it was with. It was with some recent, I think Julie, maybe I heard it on your podcast. Once again, where she said that production, or that Russell claimed production had given him an idol.
No, that was not on the show.
What?
Isn't that crazy? That's like so. That's so brilliant.
That is pretty crazy. Yeah. How about this? In this future season, they get like a giant crate on day one. It says, "Do not open until day 19."
Russell's corpse is in the crate.
And it's like Russell, and he has like a giant like hamster bottle of water and like a,
and a
like
wheel.
A hamster
and a
wheel. So he has stuff to do in the crate.
Yeah, right.
But he has to live in the box for 19 days. Then
what
he gets
if
the whole
a fire, Rob. It's totally unrealistic.
I can see that happening though.
But
the
he gets
wheel.
In this scenario where he lives in the box for the first 19 days, he gets the whole $1 million if he can make it through living in the box for 19 days.
And the hamster wins.
I'm in the box.
Season and a David Blaine trick.
Yeah, and he like does confessionals from like inside the box. Great.
It's very dark. I'm going insane.
This is the greatest box of all time. I'm the great illusionist.
Uh-oh.
That's good stuff. I like this.
Yeah.
This is fun. What are you doing for the finale? Are you going to the taping?
We're going to the taping. It's actually, you know, it's I'm excited about it, but in some ways it's more fun to watch it from home where you can, like, you know, have a few drinks and eat fast forward through the commercials. You know, 3 hours in they need to just have an open bar at the Letterman Theater. I feel like it would be a much more wild experience.
Didn't they do that for All Stars?
Well, the All Stars finale taping was at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, we were drinking at All Stars.
Well, I guess because you can go watch like sporting events there.
Yeah.
So that would probably be better.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but so we're going, and then you know, I'm less keyed up about this finale than I typically am, and I guess it's, you know, it's partially because I don't like the season. And I'm just like, who do I want to meet? You know, I've met the one person I want to meet, who's Francesca, and she's awesome.
Yeah.
And that's it. I'm good.
No Philip? Or you hate – you and Philip have a feud, which we've talked about a little bit on the show, that Philip blocked you on Twitter.
Steven, you're always fighting with everyone.
Yeah, you first – Ed, we figured it out because Philip was following Frank Clark on Twitter, but he blocked Steven. We thought that as part of the Frank Clark-Steven feud, Philip was on Team Frank.
But what did you do Did you tweet him something? Like, what happened?
Well, it's either something I wrote in my blog, which is possible, or the fact that I, like, outed him. You know, I wrote, oh, everyone.
Wait, Philip's gay?
Oh, my God.
No, I was the one of the, I think I was the first person to, like, tweet, oh, look at this guy, the closers, is Philip from Survivor.
Oh. And
the day after that, I was blocked. So yeah. I wonder if he was trying to go incognito for a little bit and just didn't pan out.
Now, I thought this was very interesting. I saw a picture on Twitter of Philip with at ESB Wellness with Brett Closer. Is that where he gets his Twitter name from?
The Closers.
Yeah, the Closers. That's exactly right. Yeah.
Is that what... Very interesting. So you you blew up. This is like Scooter Libby with the whole thing that, you know, Philip is a federal agent hiding out on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
And then you come along and then you blew his cover.
Well, I don't know even how I like found his Twitter. I think it was I knew that he was a tech exec and I was curious because I'm a little bit in that world, and I tracked it down on LinkedIn and ultimately found, you know, the name of his company and then his Twitter.
Steven's like a federal agent.
You have a lot of time, Steven.
Exactly. Well, I was really curious because I was, you know, before I completely insulted him in my blog, I wanted to see if there was any work I could get out of him. And the answer was no, because he's a lunatic.
Oh, dare you, Steven.
Yeah.
What do you think they're going to do at the finale? Like, do you think this is like famously at your finale that, you know, this question, like, how crazy is Coach? And Coach came in with like, I have a lie detector test. I've submitted to a lie detector. Go ahead and read this. And it was just like a piece of paper. Uh-huh. Will Philip come in with something like, here's
a
my
certificate.
Badge. Yeah.
Well, Philip's whole shtick is like Coach 2.0. And I read that, you know, I read Parvati's blog and she was talking about how Philip now wears some like feathers around his neck. I mean, could he be any? He should wear like a little gun around his neck or something. You know, like own his character, own the former federal agent. You know, stop trying to be Coach. So I really think it's going to be something very similar to what Coach did, like some like completely unverifiable piece of paper. You know, I hold in my hand this list of jobs I've had, something along those lines.
He's going to bring his resume.
Ooh, Philip's resume. That could be good.
Yeah. That would be actually amazing.
Oh, well, how about this? What if Philip comes to the Survivor finale with the pictures of the deceased Bin Laden to prove
with him next to it smiling
to prove that he actually has the federal connections that he's actually in the CIA. He's
wearing his pink panties.
He has these connections. No, he put them on Bin Laden, like when we captured Saddam Hussein.
Bin Laden's wearing the pink panties.
Yes. this could be.
I think he already was wearing them.
This could be very shocking.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, and let's hope that the president doesn't interrupt the Survivor finale like Celebrity Apprentice a couple of weeks ago with any sort of breaking news.
I know. Like, yeah.
Like they got Gaddafi or anything like that. Please, let's wait till 11 o'clock.
Was that? I guess that was a Sunday night as well.
Yes.
That's the MO. Yeah.
Right in the middle of Celebrity Apprentice, Stephen.
What are you guys doing for the Survivor finale? Do you have a viewing of any variety?
Well, we don't really have any friends, so we're going to...
You're our only friends,
Steven. Yeah, we're going to try to look at the East Coast version, and then we're going to do some sort of a live podcast. And then we're going to actually do live video and take phone calls. I like to get the instant reaction on the finale night.
Oh, wow, that's cool. Yeah. So are we being live... Are there people tweeting us live now? Can you explain this to me?
Oh, the live tweeters. I saw you were confused about that. No, There are much like this came up during the Tyson podcast that Jeff, you know, live tweets famously.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of times you take umbrage with some of his live tweets. You get very easily riled up during Jeff's live tweeting.
I do get. He's just so outrageous. Like the things he says.
He is really outrageous.
It's completely unrelated to fact. There's like no relation. He'll say something like, "This is the greatest record of all time. Nobody has done this feat before."
Wait, what are you doing right now?
Sorry,
doing the dishes.
I went out. It's steaming in here.
Don't jump.
Jeff's live tweeting isn't that bad.
Yeah.
It's like the David has a good game thing is just it's still beyond me. I think David gets good confessionals, but. He didn't do anything that we saw.
Jeff be live tweeting the finale? Will he be live tweeting the reunion show?
He said he's going to be live tweeting from backstage when he's back there.
Yeah, I hope he live tweets the reunion show. That would really make me happy.
Yeah, that would be great. Can't
like Rob, like Jeff's like Rob, this is your fourth time. The jury screwed you over. What do you think, man? And Rob's like, don't hate the player, hate the game. And then Jeff's like BlackBerry out, like hashtag at Boston Rob. So hilarious. Really killing it tonight. All right. I sent my live tweet. Philip, are you really a federal agent?
Well, do you watch The Voice?
No, I have not been watching it.
Well, so every time someone is eliminated, they'll like show a tweet from their coach to be like, you were so great, loved you, keep at it.
On the screen?
Yeah, on the bottom of the screen.
In the virtual living room?
Yeah, exactly. Where did that phrase come from? Does that have any provenance before Jeff?
I don't know.
It sounds like a
Is it
Jeff.
Virtual living room or interactive living room?
Virtual.
Interactive living room, right?
Interactive. I don't know. I thought it was virtual.
Oh, maybe it is. I don't know.
I don't know. that maybe you'll get that trademark.
No, I think it is the interactive living room.
It's a global conversation that we're having in the interactive living room.
It's a stupid conversation.
Did you happen to see Jeff on The Talk this week?
I did watch that. He was great.
Oh, see, I thought it was very awkward.
Oh, really?
Why was it awkward?
I thought that it was like he was a guest on the show, but he like wanted to ask them all questions. He's like, so how did this show happen? How did you guys meet?
Yeah.
Like,
he does like, that on Regis, too, when he's
like,
guest.
Wait, you're the guest on the show. Yeah. They're going to ask you questions. And like Leah Rimini was getting pissed.
Was she?
It seems like he's like much less restrained than he used to be. Like that's why I like his tweets now. They're just sort of completely from the hip. And two, you know, that's what he's doing in the challenges too. You know, Natalie should just sit down and give up and go home.
Oh, somebody's going to be on the jury. That blows.
Yeah, exactly. And even like, I mean, I thought in the tribal council, you know, he was really putting pressure on that girls' alliance in a way that he does not do with Rob. You know, he's not like, guys, can't you see what Rob is doing to you? Can't you see? Like, aren't alarm bells going off? You know, in the way that he did with the girls, too. But he did seem very aggressive.
Oh, so we got started talking about the live tweets.
Uh-huh.
So I had said on the Tyson podcast that it was my dream to one day have people live tweet this podcast.
Right.
And then from there, we had one or two people made up accounts that were like Rob's live tweeter.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure exactly who was first. And then Rob's podcast Bell became born out of that.
Uh-huh.
And now there's about like 15 different accounts that people
really
have made.
It's really impressive. It's really impressive. Do any of them live tweet?
Many of them. So a lot of them just get made and then never do anything.
Right.
Right.
But about half of them, they will then listen through the podcast. And they'll, should we give them Steven, give the live tweeters a hashtag for this part of the podcast when they listen to.
Oh my God. Hashtag. Oh my God. Rob, I can't handle this pressure.
You can have a hashtag right here, Steven.
God, my own hashtag. But it's like, you know, it's like the dream you've always wanted. Like suddenly it's in your face.
Yeah, we're like an hour and 2 minutes into this podcast. Yeah. Now this is where the live tweeters are going to hit this. They're waiting on your every word here right now.
Wow, this is incredible. I don't know.
They're talking shit right now, too.
Now they are. This is really embarrassing.
Do you just want a message from all the live tweeters? Do you want them to at reply you at this point?
Just like how bad I was, like with a hashtag. What do you guys do? I'll be.
We don't actually have a show hashtag, which is actually the way you would want to use Twitter properly.
Right.
All the live tweeters, a bunch of them, they have their own hashtag,
right?
Which really makes no sense because the idea of a hashtag is you want other people to use it, but they like the Bell. His hashtag is ding.
Uh-huh.
There's Nicole's Martini who always uses the hashtag clink.
Clink.
Reyes the dog, I think, says woof.
Uh-huh.
But again, that's not you want.
I'll give my hashtag to Shein.
Okay.
Ooh. So hashtag Shein.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Shein is going to be like, wow, I'm a trending topic.
I'm so cool.
Oh man. So not only does Amber give Shein a car, Steven gives Shein a hashtag.
Shein's the winner.
Yeah.
She's a real winner.
Whiner.
Anyway, so, Steven, speaking of the, let me see if there's anything else. Was there anything else from this episode? Because I know we have comments for you from the listeners that they wanted to ask. I know we're about an hour into this.
I can't think of anything. You know, it's such a dud episode. You know, there's not that.
No, I thought this was a great episode.
It was the better of the duds.
It was the better of the duds. What do you guys think of Ashley? I'm surprised by all the Ashley dislike. Courtney and I really like Ashley.
What did she do that you like her so much?
She's just, you know, a little bit sassy.
She does have some sass. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am not particularly fond of her. Oh, I thought of the other thing I wanted to talk about. I'm pretty indifferent on her. I thought she seems more bitchy than Natalie.
Yeah, right. Well, you said something last night that she really needs to align with Philip and not get so mad at him.
Well, this is the big problem with her, and this was another thing I was writing about this morning, in that she's so, I don't want to say stupid, but it's so dumb that the biggest thing that she can do right now would be to align with Philip. And she's getting into these big fights with him over the stupid rice with 4 days left. It's like if somehow she was able to align with Philip, like the girls, they could do whatever they want.
Yeah, but
if they had Philip. Philip is the swing vote.
You play Survivor, Rob. Most people who play Survivor are both really dumb and really crazy.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So it's not like that's not that surprising. You know, she doesn't. And I think more power to Rob, too, to Boston Rob, for. He's just so expertly played his different allies off against each other so that he's the only one that any of them like.
Right.
Like, Grant doesn't like Ashley or Natalie. You know, obviously Grant doesn't like Philip. Ashley and Natalie don't like Philip. They're not that close with Grant. You know, he's been this great central spoke for all of those people. You know, it's just, like, masterful.
Let's go back to the last time that Rob was in this scenario. So in Survivor All-Stars, there was five people left. And I had said for a long time that, you know, I thought that Grant was going to go out at this point. So you had Rob and Amber,
right?
And we haven't really established who Rob has an Amber, it's Natalie.
Right.
And I actually want to talk about this a little bit. And then you have Jenna Lewis and Rupert, who are like another pair.
Right.
So you had the two pairs, and then you had Big Tom.
Who is Philip?
Who was, I don't know if he's Philip or if he's Grant, but Boston Rob did in that scenario was he's like, I've got to turn. He like made up something like he got Rupert and Big Tom fighting with each other.
Right. I remember that. That was great.
And it was a brilliant stroke of genius to do that.
Right.
Right.
But in this scenario, it wasn't like, you know, we had Philip fighting with Ashley, but it wasn't really so much. I guess it's similar. But it doesn't seem as strategic. It just seems more like Philip was crazy and Rob didn't really set that in motion.
Right.
Well, you did have, early in the season, you had those scenes where he would, you know, whisper with Philip, oh, those dumb girls, they don't do anything. You know, we guys have to do everything. And then he'd go over to the girls and be like, ah, can you believe that Philip? Look at him walking around in his underwear. You're just like goading everybody on to, you know, not to like create harmony in camp, but to really create kind of dysfunction. And even in Marquesas, you know, that's sort of what he did. And it didn't, you know, didn't work for him, but it, you know, probably got him invited back.
Yeah.
Was when he like, you know, just got other people fighting. Like he got Kathy and Zoe fighting.
Right.
I think it's his superpower is just like sowing destruction.
Ooh.
Yeah.
The other thing that I wanted to talk about with Natalie was, what did you think about the conversation? This seems sort of weird, of the purity of Natalie and whether the purity that is Natalie is being corrupted by Ashley. And it's Boston Rob's duty
to
protect the purity of Natalie from Ashley. I thought this was very, I think you could really take this far out and it, almost like to biblical implications. I could make metaphors to compare this to Lost.
Right.
Of Boston Rob is the protector of the pure Natalie.
Right.
And he needs to protect her from the evil that is Ashley.
Well, when he first said it to Ashley, to Natalie, I thought he was, you know, screwing with her. He was like, oh man, I can't believe what she's doing to you. You know, I thought that he was just sort of trying to get in her head. But then he did have that confessional afterwards where he reiterated that.
Yeah.
Ashley's just playing the game. Of course she's going to do that.
Yeah.
Right. But Rob really believes this. Like there's something that's pure and in his mind, you know, that there's something that's virginal, like I'm not trying to imply anything like there's any sort of like Rob has the hots for her or anything like
that. Right,
right. But there's something magical about this Natalie
because she does what he says.
I don't know. He's very protective over her.
He's a father of like two girls. You know, maybe he sees, you know, this like innocent little girl. Well,
she's 19.
Yeah.
She's 19, but she has the mind of a 2-year-old. So
maybe that's, but I'm wondering if how much that weighed into his factor, because if we talked about earlier where if Grant comes back with a stick up his butt, which was the term I used before, Natalie had no chance to come back from Redemption Island. And if she did, she would, like, I have a feeling that if she was on the jury, she'd still vote for Rob, even if he did blindside her. Whereas right. he made an enemy out of Grant, potentially.
Yeah, but that's one vote. I don't know. I see what you're saying, and the edit did seem to support that idea that, like, Rob
and
was...
And Steven, I don't think that, I did not think that you'd be minimizing the importance of one vote. Of all people, Steven.
Well, I got no votes. I mean, I see how four votes are important. But I don't know one vote is that important. I don't know. I mean, like, you know, maybe Grant is super bitter, but I actually would think, you know, as a, like, in my mind, had I, you know, putting myself into the situation, you know, I wanted to take JT out at, you know, 3 or 4, and I think he still would have voted for me because he wouldn't have wanted to see Aaron win. Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, Aaron was on your podcast and we learned that she would have beaten all of us.
Yes. Yes.
I know. I think that JT would have voted for me. And I think that Grant too will still vote for Rob.
I think so too.
The other thing that I wanted to touch on with this episode was that, they have the fan favorite. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this a little bit of whether Rob should win it and whether, you know, he should be able to, you know, dictate who gets the money. So I did a quick poll of the podcast listeners. I wanted to find out who they were rooting for. And it seemed like the most popular answer was Boston Rob.
Right.
Right.
But I was wondering, should we campaign for somebody? Should we pick... should we put our support behind any potential person?
I think we need to.
Steven, can you help us make a call on this?
My candidates are Francesca, who I really, really like.
Yeah.
Ralph is probably one of the neediest of them. And
why did you say that? Why do you?
Well, Julie's also.
Do you know something? Yeah.
Oh, well, Julie's a good candidate. I like Julie or Francesca.
See, I polled some people. We had a lot of Boston Robs. We also had a lot of Kelly Shins. People wanted Kelly Shin to get the money.
Yeah.
Although some people said Matt Elrod, some people said anybody but Matt Elrod.
Mm-hmm.
But I almost feel like it should be Philip. And I know you guys are in a feud, but I think that Philip should be win the fan
don't
favorite.
Think so.
But I think he made a mistake with the race card stuff,
like,
though.
Phil's prize is getting asked back for every subsequent season of Survivor.
That's true.
You know? Like,
but
he's already got his.
I feel like they got so much mileage out of Philip this season that the, you know, $90,000 he's going to take home for, you know, third place or whatever, that it pales in comparison to the millions of dollars he's made in, you know, people watching the show every week to see what he's going to do.
For CBS. And The Soup, like, he is regularly on The Soup.
Yeah. So I kind of feel like Philip is Mike. I think Philip should win the money, but I think he turned off too many people with the with the Steve's a racist bit.
Now, one more. I know we're moving towards the Q&A period of the hour, but I just was reading Ralph's interview with someone, and he was saying that the best player out there was Philip. Is there a chance in hell that Philip wins?
I can't imagine that would be the case.
I think if anybody else said that in an interview, it might.
You think he'd
be a little bit more valid?
You think he just met someone else, like he like didn't mean Philip. You met Rob.
Yeah, he probably...
Oh, you think he just was confused?
He got their names confused. Yeah.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Steven, you ready for some questions from the Rob Has a Podcast masses?
I'm ready.
All right. So here we go. We got a lot of questions for Steven. A lot of people are very happy to hear Steven come back.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy S. Zare says, Steven Fishback, is the Game of Thrones, the TV show, really that bad of an adaptation of the book?
I just, you know, I only watched the first episode and I watched some of the second episode. My, you know, I really love the book. I haven't gotten that far in the book. I've like read the first one. I've started the second one. It's, you know, the exciting thing about the show I've heard, which is the exciting thing about the book, is that you have the sense that anything could happen. You know, there's no sort of like organized. Like, there's no plot, like, cliches happening, basically. But having read the book, I know what those things are that are going to happen. And I just kind of, you know, I don't want the characters ruined for me, like, from the way that I imagine them.
Okay, hold on. Nicole's falling asleep, so we got to move on to the next question.
Sorry, I'm back.
Alex Forstenhausler says, does Steven have the power to get me into any Survivor after parties? And if he does, can he prove it? Can you get Alex Forstenhausler into any Survivor parties?
Maybe. He should, I'll contact Alex.
Yeah, okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
let's see. Sean James says, ask him what Gordon Holmes' girlfriend's Twitter handle is. Do you know what Gordon Holmes' girlfriend's Twitter handle is?
I did know this, but I forgot. So I'm sorry. Oh. I do follow her on Twitter, but I don't know. I don't know what her name is.
How about this? Jessica Frey says, are Steven and JT still friends, right? I always wanted to know because at the final tribal council of Tocachins, things were getting heated.
We are still friends. I just spoke to him yesterday. He's doing well, very busy. He's on the ranch. You know, they have a big cattle auction coming up soon. So
cattle auction?
You're in the Mobile area. Yeah, you know, that's how cows – so if you – you know, if you're – I don't want to – just bore your listeners, but you know, you sell your good cows, you sell your bulls in order to like bring other bulls into other herds.
Can I like buy low on a cow and sell high at another auction? Can I flip a cow?
If you were a great cattle speculator, you could do that.
I'm into cow flipping.
Yeah. This might be a very lucrative career for you.
I have a Bravo show in the works in addition to my History Channel show that's coming up.
Do you think there's something like that they're just casting all Survivors for History Channel shows? I actually was almost recruited to be on a History Channel show myself. So not Around the World in 80 Ways, nothing of that prestige.
Would there be any ostrich riding on your show?
Please say yes.
Do you think that the history just like turns to like Survivor?
Well, I think so, because we've talked about this quite a bit on the show. One of the live tweeters is actually called Rob's new History Channel show.
HC show.
Rob_new_HC_show. And all they, this is a guy named Luke, and he tweets about that he's developed a pilot or developed a premise for a History Channel show. It's going to be on after Boston, after Top Shot, after Around the World in 80 Ways.
We have the lineup already.
It's going to be the whole block, and it's going to involve, it's going to be like The Bachelor, but with Cuban women, who we learned this week, it's actually going to be Cuban prostitutes. And they're trying to get out of Cuba, and they are trying to date a Canadian man, because a Canadian can go there.
Americans can't.
And it might be David Healy if he can get Canadian citizenship.
And he always has a boner.
And I'm going to be the host. And the catchphrase is going to be, for every girl that gets eliminated, close but no cigar.
That's pretty good.
So maybe Steven, if the live tweeters might be able to come up with something for you.
Why Cuba? Just because of the catchphrase?
Well, the catchphrase came after the fact, but the women will be wanting the twist is called For Love or Country, or that's the name of the show.
Yes.
And then in the last episode, the guy professes his love to the Cuban prostitute that does the best, but then he tells her that he loves Cuba and he wants to stay there. And then he finds out if the girl really loved him.
If it's for love or
but he wants to stay in Cuba.
Uh-huh.
And then
it's like the Joe Millionaire twist.
Yes.
Yes. And now I don't know why this show is on the History Channel. Luke says, and then we're going to learn a lot about Cuba.
Cuba's a rich country.
On the dates.
Okay.
Well,
that sounds nice.
What about if it was like a mail order bride kind of thing? You know, like who and the girls compete to be a mail order bride. I guess that's the same premise.
I don't know, but and then the other interesting thing I found out about the show this week for Lover Country is that I don't know if you know who this is, and I got a full show outline from Luke that Jim Ross, who's an announcer from wrestling, he actually passed on being involved with the project.
Oh, what a
but
jerk.
He has some barbecue sauce company, and that could potentially be a sponsor on the show.
Oh,
so this is you guys are really doing some good work.
The live tweeters are hard at work.
It's really, it's all coming together. Now, have you, you guys are not Top Shot watchers. Am I correct about that?
Right. No.
You are missing, Rob, you do a good Jeff Probst impersonation, but you're not even in the realm of Colby. It's incredible. I really, as a Survivor fan, you have to watch at least an episode just to be amazed.
Yeah. Okay.
So he's just totally ripping off Probst.
It'll be like, come on in, guys. And then like, do you want to know what you're shooting for? You know, it's like, guys, I got nothing for you, but I'll see you back at camp. I mean, the house. You know, it's just like,
wow.
Completely stolen from Survivor.
Yeah.
Oh, we got to check it out.
We should check it out. So Heidi Dickinson Gantz says, a huge Stephen fan, love when he does the podcast.
Ask, oh, I love Heidi.
Ask him if he can give any inside information of what happens when all the NYC survivors get together to watch Survivor.
Yeah, what goes down?
Yeah, there's a lot of drinking.
Uh-huh.
There are some war stories shared. You know, everyone is like, when I was in that situation in the Final Four in Vanuatu, specifying who that is.
Or it's like, no, you don't even know what happened because I would have won if this one thing didn't happen.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Some gossip.
That's every survivor. That's no particular survivor. That's every single survivor.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all 387 survivors.
Here's how I actually should have won my season. This is the one thing that would have happened differently, and I would have won.
Yeah, and it was messed up.
Yeah.
And don't tell anybody about this, but this is what really happened.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of that. We'll have some wine and cheese. You know, we'll fast forward through the commercials using our DVR.
So no keg stands.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
I don't know. Wine and cheese survivor party. Little echo.
Yeah.
Wine and cheese survivor party sounds a little pretentious, I might say.
I'm going to tell you, the New York Survivor crew is the best Survivor crew. You know, we're not all like struggling TV hosts out here.
Struggling podcast hosts.
We're struggling. Well, no, not. I don't even. I mean, like, you know, like the Danielle DiLorenzos of the world who are prowling the streets of LA looking for TV hosting jobs.
Oh, how dare you, Stephen? Yeah. Insult one of our favorite guests.
Yeah, she was good. I really do enjoy the New York Survivor crew because it's typically professionals. It's people who, you know, other than me, people who for the most part were able to like get over the show and, you know, still enjoyed it and meet up for.
I think there's a brewing East Coast, West Coast Survivor rivalry.
We know how that's going to end.
How's that going to end?
Someone's gonna die
in a shooting. Is there like an East Coast Survivor with a podcast that's gonna shoot me, is gonna shoot me, and then
I hope they shoot you and not me.
I hope so. I hope not. Yeah. How about this? Let's see. Blake Olson wants to know: would Steven do Survivor again if the next season was Steven Fishback versus Frank Clark?
Ooh.
So I would imagine So you would be back with a team of new players, and then there would be a team of players led by Frank Clark.
Right. So that would sort of be like a Rob versus Russell scenario where Frank Clark would be out second, and then I would win.
Exactly. I guess so, but I feel like it's lost a little juice. Like a month ago, this would have been much more exciting.
Yeah.
I know. I'm sorry. I apologize for
Maybe
that.
If Philip is on the Frank Clark team. That would be pretty good.
Well, since Philip's going to be on every season, it's probably going to happen.
That's good. This is from Kaz Kodrowski, who says, if Courtney left you tomorrow, what former survivors would Steven be interested in dating on The Fischler? This is a spinoff of The Fincheler, which is a spinoff of The Bachelor, I guess.
Yeah.
So Courtney left you.
Right.
Now we have to cast The Fischler.
Right.
What
is Courtney? What is she doing?
Why did she leave you?
She went on The Fincheler.
Yeah.
She
went on The Fincheler. Maybe she heard a podcast where you were talking about all the Survivor girls you want to sleep with. Who knows? The possibilities are endless of why she left you. But that's not important, I guess.
Is she still in New York?
I guess so. Whatever you need to fulfill this fantasy to get this show to happen. It also takes place in Cuba.
and something about prostitutes.
Yeah.
Right.
And you don't necessarily know who it's all survivors who were the first people off mixed in with Cuban prostitutes, and you don't know necessarily who's who.
Well, I really like Brian Heidick. You know, I sort of have a TV crush on Brian Heidick. I thought he was very, you know, he was great. I've always wanted to meet him.
Steve, it's not that kind of show.
Yeah. Why? I thought this was my fantasy show.
Yeah. Brian Heidick's show actually airs on Cinemax.
Yeah, exactly.
His reality show.
Interesting. You know, as much as I cherish all of my relationships with the Survivor girls and boys, most of them are fucking nuts. And I don't think I would seriously date any of them except for Courtney.
Okay.
Yeah. Good answer.
Yeah. Okay, so here's from Devin Sampson. This is a very good question. Steven, you said that the game is flawed and the real flaw is Ponderosa. So how would you change it? Do you want everybody sequestered and
solitary confinement?
So that's hard, right? I mean, and actually it was, you know, Russell who said that to me, and I you know, vigorously agreed with him. So, you know, kudos to Russell for being as persuasive as he is. I think they should be sequestered. I mean, you see it in every season that these, like, people leave the game feeling one way, you know, often feeling that they got bested by the best player. And then they come back, you know, after having, like, stewed in their juices and, like, you know, talk to everybody else. And then they're bitter and angry about it. Yeah, I think they should be sequestered. What do you guys think?
I don't know. I don't know if the game. I think the game is flawed, and I think the flaw is that there's a final three. I think in a final, and I know that I'm probably talking to the wrong guy about this, but I feel like in a final two scenario, more times than not, they get it right. And I feel like in the final three scenario, and I think we may be revisiting this conversation come Sunday night,
right?
Because
right.
I think if it's Boston Rob against Philip, he wins it walking away. But I think there's a lot of third party candidates. Ask Al Gore. The third-party candidate screws things up sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think that the third-party candidate could swing things away from Boston Rob, giving people an out where they wouldn't otherwise have one.
But a lot of times the right winner wins a final three. I mean, you had Yule win in Cook Islands. You had Todd win in China.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there's a lot of times that may, you know.
Right. But also, like, you know, the problem with the final two was that, you know, you got eliminated, you know, third, you know, Rafe, Johnny, Ceree. There's so many of the best players, the Terry Dietz, you know, of their seasons, mm-hmm. who everyone felt deserved to win, ended up going out in this, like, one specific spot, you know, right off the final, so close. And, you know, that's a problem, too.
I guess it's a problem, but I wouldn't really say that it's a flaw in the game.
Right.
You know, that's what the game is. It gets down to the nitty gritty, and sometimes the person who's the biggest threat to win the game is going to get voted off. But
well, there's also a drama issue, right? Like if the final two is just like a dude and his goat, then there's no one is ever going to think the goat is going to win.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's problems with both scenarios, but I think there's less problems with the final two.
So why? But like, why not end the group Ponderosa? You know, it's a game for $1 million. Like the stakes are real.
I just don't think logistically. It would, like, you have these juries with, there's nine people on the jury. Now everybody's on lockdown. Like, everybody go to your cell after the game and nobody's allowed to be talking in private and something like that. There's just no way to enforce it.
Yes. Like, you're getting paid money, you know, to have been on this show. Why not, like, do the things that make the show better?
It would just cost the production so much more money to have, you know, these monitors around. Like, you know.
Rob is really cheap.
I'm cheap, but I think I think it's not realistic for the production to add, you know, 10, 12 salaries to the to the production to keep the jury sequestered better.
But what about just doing it like it is pregame, where, you know, everyone sort of eats communally. You have your own place to, like, go to, but you can't talk to each other. And if you talk to each other, then you lose your money.
I just don't see it happening.
I don't know. I just think Ponderosa is still part of the game. You know, you got to think about that.
And you got to make Ponderosa videos.
Yeah.
But it's true. We would miss out on the Ponderosa videos. But
would be no dragons in your scenario.
Yeah.
There's no way, you know, you can do jury management individually. And I did a bad job of this, but, you know, you can do jury management individually and make everyone feel like, you know, special and, you know, have secret lives with every single person. But you just can't control for that sort of festering sore that is Ponderosa, you know, where, like, one person, you know, we saw it in Nicaragua where, like, Jane's jihad against Sash, it's like poisons everybody against him, you know, I mean, or, you know, Laura in Samoa. And it's like one person who's, like, really angry can sway some, you know, can sway a lot of people who might not feel that strongly.
Hmm. It's interesting. I don't think this is a good. I hear what you're saying, but I don't think this is a good way to fix it.
Yeah. Get the crazies out early, then.
Yeah, I guess so. There's no way. Yeah, there's just no way to not have any bitter jurors, you know. And if someone is like super bitter, and it's, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I've got two ding marry kills for you.
Okay. All right.
All right. So. I'll ask you, which one do you want? Do you want the one from Mike Minogue or do you want the one from TJ Giles?
I can't choose between Mike and TJ. They both mean so much to me.
Okay, so which one do you want?
That came off sounding much dickier than I meant it to.
All right, pick a number, one or two.
One.
Okay, this is from...
I should go two.
Okay. This is from TJ Giles. He wants you to play Ding, Marry, Kill... with your fellow token cheens castaways, Debbie, Sierra, and Erin. Ding,
oh, wow.
Ding, marry, kill.
That's crazy.
Well, the other one was much crazier.
Yeah.
I would marry Erin.
Okay.
You'd have to kill Sierra. Like, that's the
she also brain. Chose to marry you in the ding, marry, kill between between you, Boston Rob, and JT.
Oh, wow. I would go with Rob in that scenario.
She killed Boston Rob.
Rob's got a lot of money.
Yeah.
I'd divorce him.
Yes.
You obviously kill Sierra in that scenario. And then you're like left with Debbie and Erin, and you know, spending a lifetime with Debbie would be torture. It would be like daily torture. I don't know. Can you kill two people? You can't.
Well,
right?
I would say to marry Debbie because she's older. It wouldn't be as
she'll
long.
Die soon.
Yeah, not no. I no sooner.
Sooner.
Nicole. So God forbid.
Right, and then kill Sierra, and then ding Erin.
That's one way to go.
Yeah.
No, I think I would marry Erin, and then I would ding Debbie. But I would, you know, I would like close my eyes and like put a bag
pretend
over
it's someone else.
Okay.
Exactly.
So most of us do.
Matthew Bilmes wants to know, who would Steven rather spoon with, Philip or Sandy?
Wow. Sandy was a horrible spooner. I would rather spoon with Philip. Sandy would just like twist and turn in the middle of the night. And she snored. You had this wheezing snore that sounded like someone was sawing wood. So I would definitely go with Philip.
Yeah. Let's see. So Jake...
McIntyre
says, ask Stefan, can I get a fishy award for being cool making 8 Survivor videos so I could try to get on the show?
Can he get a fishy for making 8 Survivor videos and being cool?
Are you trying to like downgrade the fishies to some cheap thing that you can win for anything? I mean, this is like a real special award. Can I win Oscar for like webcam videos? No, I cannot.
Okay. Yeah. Ray Shirey wants to know, ask Steven if he would be up for a Twitter feud with him. Now that the hatchet is buried with Frank Clark, he could use the publicity. Would you have a Twitter feud with Ray Shirey? Now, I don't know what his Twitter handle is.
So Frank is sort of like the Monica Lewinsky of this podcast, right? Like he went down on me and now he's famous too. No. Frank and I have buried the hatchet, so that was meant in the best.
You might have just reopened it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Mark Swinsky has a wonderful handbag collection, you know? I think that this is a wonderful person. I can't handle Twitter feeds. I take it all too personally. No, I don't want it.
Adam Epler wants to know, what are you and Courtney dressing as for Halloween this year? I saw pictures of the two of you as Rod Stewart for Halloween last year. Great costume. Now, you were both Rod Stewart for Halloween?
It was young and old.
We were both. Yes. What? Thank you. Thank you, Nicole.
Does the young Rod Stewart look much different than the old Rod Stewart?
Yes. Totally
different. Yeah. He was like glam and like, you know, Courtney had on like these tight pink spandex. And I was, you know, the debonair, you know, crooner Rod Stewart.
Was this costume worn to a wine and cheese Survivor party?
It was worn to Jenna and Ethan's Halloween party. So, and yes, it was.
Yeah. So in theory, yes.
Yeah.
We would never do that on the West Coast.
Yeah. We do cake stands.
Yeah. You drink, you maybe get some Jack and Coke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. let's see. Reva G wants to know, ask Steven if he had a nice Passover. Steven, did you have a nice Passover?
I did. Thank you, Reva. It was very nice.
Someone's sucking kneecaps.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What about you guys? Did you have a nice Passover?
We had a very nice Passover.
Yeah, it passed right over. I didn't even realize it. let's see. Any other good questions? Let's see. Zach Ravinsky wants to know, ask Stephen how many times it'll take coming on the podcast before he wins. How many times?
That's really funny. What are the victory conditions? Do I have to get people to vote for me?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Everybody is all the listeners are sequestered.
Uh-huh.
Right. They do communicate via Twitter.
Uh-huh.
So there's a flaw in the game.
Yeah, it's flawed.
But we might be able to.
We have to have, it's true. Your listeners would not be able to communicate with each other. That's the only way that this would be a fair contest. I'm not even considering it until that happens.
How about this? Jeffrey Meyer wants to know, ask Stephen one good reason why Philip should have been voted out instead of Grant. Do you have one? I think there's probably a lot.
There's like 100.
Really? You think there's more? No, I don't think there are any. Of course you keep Philip.
Well, for not necessarily for Boston Rob, maybe for other people.
Oh.
There's good reasons to get rid of Philip.
He's wearing pink panties.
Yeah. No, I
he seems
I
to have a David Healy.
Yeah, I don't know. He's for one thing, Philip is eating too much of the rice. He had more than he had more than 3,700 calories
wars.
Worth of rice, and that was outrageous.
Yeah.
The line.
How about from Russell Lindbergh wants to know, Steven just posted on his blog, this could be the worst season ever. In his opinion, is it really worse than Thailand, Fiji, or Nicaragua?
I really like Thailand. Am I the only person who likes Thailand?
You might be.
Yeah. No, I think Mertz says it's the best season of all time.
There's no way Mertz says that. There's no Boston.
I don't believe that I'm not lying about this. I believe he does. You can ask him.
Well, now he definitely thinks this is the best season of all time.
I don't think so. I think he's been a little understated about this season.
Maybe he's just waiting till Rob wins.
I think he's nervous. He's nervous.
So I still think that at least in those seasons, you didn't always know exactly who was going to go home. You didn't know who was going to win. Definitely Nicaragua, you didn't know who was going to win. You know, I think from the editing, you could have guessed that Judd was going to win. And you know, Nicole like communed with her like dark spirits, and she knew from before the show aired.
My great-grandfather.
Yeah.
Although I feel like my predictions were much more right on this season. If anybody goes, and I'd like somebody to do this, to go back and listen to the preview podcast.
Although
we
your
did.
Prediction is out.
Right. My prediction is out. But I think, oh, we did predictions on the whole cast. So I'm going to assign somebody to go do this. Go back and listen to the.
But you already lost the game because your prediction
but,
is out.
Okay, but we're just overall. I feel like I was very right on this season.
But you weren't because you lost.
Well, we need somebody to go back and check the podcast to see what we said about everybody and see if we were right or wrong.
Mm-hmm. Bob, you've lost. You have to move on.
Just deal with it.
Okay, yeah. And Andrea is still in the game, my friend.
Yeah. You lost.
No, she could win. She could still win.
I thought I was sure after the preview that it was either going to be – I'm sorry, after the first episode that it was going to be Mike or Ralph. I was 100% sure.
Ralph?
And, yeah. Well, just the edit. Just
they
the way
talk him
edit.
Up a lot, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was wrong.
And now he's on podcast and we can't even understand what he's saying.
Yeah, we needed subtitles.
Not our best work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, one last question from Megan Hsu. Who says, ask Stefan to rehash the hair gel incident from Reality Rally and asks how he feels about John Fincher calling him a terrorist.
I think I am a hair gel terrorist. I was trying to like surgically strike with hair gel against our nation's infrastructure.
Yeah. Steven, yeah.
Oh, maybe another reason why Philip has banned you on Twitter.
Yeah, that's true.
When he heard that you're an enemy of the state.
Yeah, well, we all assume that he was like a TSA screener, right?
I believe Philip has said on numerous occasions, you mess with the United States of America, you mess with the lion and the gorilla.
What happened to the gorilla and the lion? We haven't heard from them recently.
I have a feeling Sunday night we're going to be hearing from them.
Yeah. So I was removed from security line and therefore missed my flight because of the quantity of my hair gel.
Too much.
Too much.
Too much of a good thing.
Yeah. More than Pauly D.
Yeah. No, I don't use a lot. I just happen to have a big tube of it.
You don't strike me as a hair gel kind of guy.
It was really more of a pomade, Nicole.
Oh.
Double ring.
Do you put your pomade on with your wine and cheese?
Yeah, yeah.
I put my pomade and my Rod Stewart costume on to go to the wine and cheese party.
I gotta be fresh. Gotta have my bowl.
Yes, very...
You're fresh to death.
No, yeah. He's kicking in the front seat. Yeah, on his way.
I think he's sitting, bitch.
Oh, Stephen, one of your finest efforts today.
Oh, this is great. Oh, I've had so much fun.
Yes.
Was that like your like goodbye? That, yeah. Like, thank you so much.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we're about, a $140 into this. We gotta wrap this thing up at some point.
Yeah, all right, it was great talking to you
then
guys.
I also get hate mail also that the podcast is too long.
Yeah, well, Tyson had two podcasts.
Tyson special.
Well, Stephen, you're going to be back with us at some point in the next couple of weeks. We're going to do a Back to the Future podcast.
Yeah.
And whatever else you feel like talking about over the summer.
If you just want to gossip.
This is going to...
Just chat. We'll put it on the internet.
Yeah, when Survivor's not happening, we're still going to podcast. This is not just a Survivor podcast, everybody.
I don't like talking to people unless it's broadcast over the internet.
I feel like it's a waste, too. I got to be honest. I wish all my conversations were recorded because I feel like there's a lot of jokes that get wasted.
Yeah. Well, and I'm excited to see you guys sometime soon.
Yes.
Yeah, sometime soon. Hopefully, we're going to try to get together when we combine in New York next month.
Yeah, I know. I'm very excited about it.
Maybe we'll have some wine and cheese.
Yes, can you bring the wine and cheese?
Yeah. What's your problem with cheese? Cheese is fine.
I'm not a big cheese guy.
I love cheese.
Are you lactose intolerant?
No.
I'm lactose intolerant. I use lactate.
He just has no class.
I have no class.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is, yeah.
And I'm cheap.
Well, we've learned a lot about you today, Rob.
Yes. All right. Well, Stephen, thank you so much. Best to Courtney.
Yes, say hi to Courtney.
All right. Talk to you guys soon.
All right. Bye, have fun at the finale. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, Nicole. There you have it.
There you have it.
Stephen Fishback.
Stefan.
So here we go, Nicole. You ready for the top 10 comments of the week?
Oh, we're diving right in.
Well, what do you want to do?
I guess I want to dive.
All right, let's dive right in. Actually, before we dive right in, I just want to take a quick moment.
Uh-huh.
I was listening to one of my podcasting heroes the other day, Adam Carolla.
Uh-huh.
And he got me all psyched up about the podcast.
Got you worked up.
Got me a little worked up. So let me just take a few seconds. We haven't had any ads on this show.
No, your few seconds is like a few minutes.
It's not going to be long. Okay. Trust me. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I know what people want to hear, what people don't want to hear, for the most part.
Okay.
For the most part. Anyway, we don't have any ads on this show, and we haven't had any yet. But at some point, my goal is to break even making this podcast.
Okay.
And
sounds like a good goal.
We've had the Amazon ad on the side of the page for quite some time, and... It's an affiliate ad, so if anybody clicks on there or buys something through Amazon on the Rob Has a Website page, we get a small commission, it's like 4%.
So you get, if you click on it and make a purchase, it's you're supporting
a search,
us?
It's a search box, and if you end up wanting to buy something on Amazon.com and you go through Rob Has
it
a Website,
it could be anything.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You could buy Survivor. It says Survivor stuff, but you could buy a barbecue. You could buy wine and cheese and go to Steven's house. You could buy pomade.
You won't be able to get there.
A number of things that Steven would buy. Anything. So if you have something that you want to buy on Amazon.com and you have a second to think of me and Nicole and Reyes the dog.
Reyes needs food.
She does need food. She's a very hungry dog. Anyway, it doesn't cost you any more to buy the stuff on the Amazon.com. If you think of us, and that's the end of the ad.
Okay.
All right. So you want to get into the top 10?
Let's do it.
All right. Here we go, Nicole. The top 10 comments of the week.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Number 10. This was from the podcast with Erin.
Okay.
That we did, and where Erin was joined us, and Frank Clark joined us for the comments last week.
Uh huh.
And we had a ton of comments on the show last week.
We did have a ton of comments.
What was it? Was it over 200 or am I imagining that?
It was over 200.
Over 200 comments on the Rob Has a Website page last week about the show. And a lot of you guys liked the show.
In fairness, it was mostly Florian, Frank Clark, if I could spit that out.
There was a lot of Frank Clark actually commented many times on the actual show that he appeared on.
Yes.
But I guess in some ways that makes sense.
Fame goes to your head.
All right. Anyway, number 10. We always like to start with the people who enjoyed the show.
Yes.
Number 10, Everett Hoffner says, who has a boner after this podcast? One, David Healy, as usual. Mm-hmm. Billy Garcia. He hasn't been relevant since September 2006.
Like, he's also had a boner since September 2006.
He does wear loose-fitting clothing, Billy Garcia.
He's hiding it.
And number three, me, I love Aaron. So, boners all around.
I have a boner, too.
I didn't want to know that. And Zach Faulkner, he says, I don't know, but I don't know what it is, but there's something about Aaron that drives me crazy, hopefully in the good way, and not N-word crazy.
Me.
How can anyone comment on not loving her voice in her videos? I've decided that I need to scrap all my life plans and become a football playing sailor in Billy Garcia so I can get a date with her.
Oh, okay.
So there you have it.
What, the video from Pechanga?
Yeah.
She was
Oh, Nicole is giving insider scoop. And Mikey Mike says, shocked. I'm shocked at how great this podcast turned out to be, especially since, to the unopened mind listener, it had three strikes going against
it. What are the strikes?
Number one, no Nicole. Diehard Nicole fans such as myself wouldn't even think to give it a chance. Number two, who is Erin Lobdell? That all changed with the first sentence she spoke. Her enthusiastic perk and energy instantly made me smile.
Aww.
She's got a charm about her that some could argue is at the poverty level.
Ooh.
Poverty level of charm. And number three, Frank Clark. I really thought he was going to be an annoying douche, but it turned out to be a pretty good comment segment. Good job, Rob.
Oh, kudos.
Yeah. A lot of people were annoyed about Frank Clark. And let's get into number eight here. Yeah. Kaz says, Frank Clark on the podcast, Rob, really? I think you've just encouraged your listeners to be annoying a-hole comment spammers in an attempt to become guests on the podcast. This will not end well.
Uh-oh.
Now, I did see this from a lot of places, that people said, you've emboldened Frank Clark by... You've set a bad example by having Frank Clark on the podcast.
Uh-huh.
And yes...
I could see that.
Frank Clark could have a little better comment etiquette, and uh-huh. maybe he doesn't need to comment so many times.
Uh-huh.
But Frank Clark has been a good friend to the show.
Good supporter.
Over all this time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not opposed to having other people on the show. I could someday see a scenario where if David Healy could control himself, there might be, David Healy might appear on the podcast. I'm just saying that the people who have become, parts of the show, I want to hear from them.
So do we have to
I was interested to hear what Frank Clark sounded like.
Yeah.
And I feel like if it was interesting... To me, I feel like there might have been at least one other person that wanted to hear what Frank Clark sounded like.
I'm sure there were many people that were intrigued by Frank Clark.
And a lot of people said that they didn't expect to like Frank Clark. And he was on his best behavior other than one or two remarks.
Yes.
So that was good. So Kaz, I feel like it was a little unfair to Frank Clark.
Yes. And if David
And I would have Kaz on the podcast.
We would have Kaz.
And I'm excited to hear from you guys on Sunday night.
Yes.
So I like to hear from everybody who listens to the show, and it's fun.
Yeah, we enjoy it.
Yeah. Anyway, so, and that's the thing. We do the comments at the end. So if people get, I'm sure there's a lot of people that don't
turn
listen
it off.
To
They're not listening
the
to this right now. Yeah.
Probably. And screw those people.
Yeah. We don't like them anyway.
So.
I bet they're stupid.
Yeah. Anyway, number seven, Pork Store Killer writes.
He always has a lot to say, too.
He has a lot to say, PSK. And controversial sometimes. Sometimes he gets into it with Frank Clark, too. Rob, you often mention how much you love your listeners. I just did.
Yeah.
But I think you might be guilty of attempting to murder one of us.
Uh-huh.
What? Several weeks ago, we heard from one fan who said she listened to your podcast at the gym, but her workouts were becoming increasingly difficult because of the expanded length of your shows.
Uh-huh.
Now, we all know how you are aware of the very special episode of Full House where DJ Tanner learns how too much exercise can be dangerous and potentially fatal. Did
well,
you know about this?
She also didn't eat.
Yes. Well, that's what I was talking about. I talked about this on the podcast last week with Aaron that, like, when Boston Rob was going to fall down the stairs, I thought this might be because Boston Rob's not eating enough.
Right.
And then overexerting himself. This could be a dangerous diet.
That was rather frightening when he was...
Were you afraid he was going to fall down the stairs?
A little bit, yeah.
So when, without warning, you toss us a podcast whose running time would make David Lean blush. Now, I don't know who David Lean is.
You're dumb.
yeah, because you know who that is. I can only assume your intentions were not to simply give us extra entertainment. You were also toying with someone's well-being. At no time during the podcast did you stop to remind your fans to take breaks and drink plenty of water. That's right, I did not. Would it have killed you to say, hey, why not eat a banana? It will keep you from cramping.
Yeah, potassium.
I've been reviewing the news the last couple days, looking for stories about sweaty, headphone-wearing bodies found besides elliptical machines. Nothing yet, but if such a tragedy is uncovered, I can only hope the authorities bring you to justice.
Oh.
I'm sure you'll be stunned how quickly your accomplices, Aaron and Frank, agree to testify against you.
I'll testify.
Yeah, you weren't there.
I have the video. Or the audio.
The audio of the long pod. Well, that should go without saying. Stay hydrated, everybody. First rule of podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, take breaks.
And take a shot.
And, yeah, take a shot. No joke, I did have to convince Nicole to not drink wine before going to the gym the other day. True or false, Nicole? Is this not, am I, if I'm lying, I'm dying.
We were doing ladies who lunch.
Not late, what do you say with ladies who lunch? We were having lunch.
Yes.
I don't know where you're getting this ladies who lunch from.
Ladies who lunch drink.
I guess so.
They have a glass of wine.
Yeah, but I don't think ever on Sex in the City, they went to the gym from having cocktails.
Well, they probably should have.
They probably should have. You were really going to go to the gym. I had to really talk you out of going to the gym after you wanted to get wine with lunch.
Okay,
on.
But I didn't do it.
You didn't do it. And it's a bad idea. Can we set the precedent and it's a bad idea?
I could probably lift a lot more being buzzed.
Okay.
I could probably bench press you.
Perhaps. Anyway, so number six comes from A Lonely Coconut. Now, do you know who this was last week? We talked about Greg Bowie.
The fake Greg Bowie.
I speculated that I did not think it was right. Mm. And we have an update. Lonely Coconut writes, all right, the gig is up, Scooby. They know about us. Rut-row. Yes, I forged a Greg Bowie comment. It is not something that I am proud of. Nor something I meant in any malicious way. This may come as a surprise to some of you here, but here are the reasons why I did it. And then there's a number of reasons. I'm just going to read the first one because it's a bit lengthy.
Okay.
So he says, I thought it would be effing hilarious to see Rob think that the Greg Bowie, the mythological J.D. Salinger-esque figure of Survivor, suddenly had a desire to delve back into the show after listening to his podcast. I feel as though it may have been a low blow, as Rob may have felt like it was an insult to his intelligence. For that, I apologize.
Well, you tried to trick him and then laughed about it.
Yeah, and that's from A Lonely Coconut.
Oh, A Lonely Coconut. Now I know why you're lonely.
Trying to trick me.
Yeah.
Well, it's not going to work.
Yep.
You're not going to trick me.
Yes.
Because all the survivors are friends, mm-hmm. and we know when there's an imposter.
Right. And you almost have as high an IQ of... What is it? David Murphy?
Yes, and because there's a secret survivor handshake.
Yes,
that we all know.
Yes,
and we have a secret code word that we use.
What's the code?
I can't tell you. I can't even tell you. You're my wife, and I can't even tell you.
I already know it.
Yeah, and so we can tell when there's an imposter mm-hmm. among the survivors.
Right.
Okay. So, and we can never tell. All right. So this is number five. This one was actually. From JT Leet, who says, okay, Rob, something has to be said about all of the armpit action this season. First, we have Russell's harem helping out with his ingrown hair pustules. Then we had spa day girls plucking armpit hairs and cleaning pores from each other. And now last night we had a prolonged sniff of Natalie's armpits at about a 2-inch range. What's going on with these girls and pits? We need an axolism cast. Now is that like Axe body spray?
No, your axillary is your underarm.
Ooh, is that a real thing? Axolism?
Sure.
It's not like Axl Rose.
No,
that wasn't like his move.
He could probably put him in that category.
All right, Nicole, is something going on here with the armpits?
Last time I mentioned Russell's armpits.
All right, well, not specific. Let's not worry about Russell.
People got their panties in a bunch.
Okay. Let's talk about specifically with Natalie and Ashley.
Yes. You know, every girl needs a spa day, whether they're on an island, tropical.
Why are they smelling each other's armpits? Is that something like when girls go to the bathroom together? Does this happen?
I have witnessed.
Have you ever had your armpit sniffed? That's like having your torch snuffed.
Yes.
Have you ever had your armpit sniffed by another girl?
I have had my armpit sniffed. Yes. And I have sniffed some armpits.
Why? Why would you? Is it like, hey, do I really smell?
Do I smell? Yeah.
So is that what's going on with Natalie and Ashley? Hey, do I really smell right now?
Or how bad do I smell? Yeah. If I were on Survivor, I would have somebody sniff my armpits.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yes. Self-awareness.
You can't sniff your own armpit?
You become immune to your own sniffing.
Yeah. Interesting.
You can't really sniff yourself.
And who would you say sniffs worse, Natalie or Ashley? I know what Boston Rob would say.
I'm going to say that Ashley sniffs worse.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I feel like Natalie sniffs like cotton candy.
Are you the official armpit expert now?
I must be.
You must be.
Yes.
So this was actually a tie with number five.
Okay.
This is from Jason Pilcher, who writes, so I'd like to say I am re-listening to your podcast with Sash, and at 38 minutes and 38 seconds, you said, Rob will take out Grant at the final five because he wants to sit next to the two girls. You were slightly off because he took him out because he kind of had to, but he would rather sit next to the two girls than next to him. So you were right.
And wrong.
Can't wait for the next podcast.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. Well, I've been pretty locked in with my predictions.
No, you haven't.
Okay.
You haven't.
All right. Here's number four.
Number four.
And this is from Lee Jenkins, who I actually don't like Lee Jenkins, but
why?
He's a douche. he always writes stupid things.
Uh-huh.
During the Survivor offseason, he writes, who's up for a Rob and Nicole dating advice podcast?
Oh.
Interesting.
Now, I don't think you want dating advice from us.
Well, let's see. Let's take it. Let's doodaloo, doodaloo, doodaloo. All right. This is what the dating advice podcast goes. Okay. All right. Here we go, Nicole. We're on the dating advice podcast.
Okay.
So, hey, Rob and Nicole. There's a girl that I like. I see her in my class, but every time she says my name, I get an incredible boner. What do you think I should do about this situation?
Okay, David Healy.
Signed, DH.
I think you should write her a note
mm-hmm.
that says, do you like me? Check yes or no.
Yeah.
And give it to her. And then say, P.S., I have a boner.
that would work?
That would work on me.
What? What? All right, number three. Why do you even say these things sometimes?
Because they're true.
They're true. All right, this is from, try not to get too excited, Nicole. This is from Dick Butterfield. And this is actually from the podcast.
My two favorite things.
Will you get a grip? This is from the podcast that I did with Gordon Holmes over the weekend. And Gordon Holmes and I were talking about Redemption Island, and Gordon Holmes says that he doesn't think that Redemption Island quite works, and he thinks that it will be revamped.
There's a flaw.
There's a flaw in Redemption Island.
Oh, so many flaws. Everyone thinks they could do it better.
So he says, I apologize in advance for the length of this.
Ooh,
that's normally my line. But I need to say it. I'm, of course, talking about my podcast.
I'm not.
I'm with Gordo when he says that they need to reworkshop Redemption Island. I think it's a welcome addition for the first stage of the game because we get to spend more times with fun early boots like Francesqua or friend of the show, Billy Garcia. Billy Garcia has, what, 10 mentions in this podcast so far?
He's a podcast celebrity.
But there are serious flaws with execution. So he thinks he has the ways to fix Redemption Island. You ready
okay.
to hear this?
Can we do it quick?
Semi-quick.
Okay.
Luckily, he has the perfect solution to all these podcast problems. So Dick says, hold the Redemption Island Elimination Challenge immediately following Tribal Council, right after some knucklehead is voted out and their torch isn't snuffed. Instead, they'll take their still-lit torch and head to the arena, or whatever they call it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part one of this.
Uh-huh.
So if somebody gets voted off,
uh-huh.
so let's say Grant gets voted off.
Okay.
He would go and fight Matt, Mike, whoever, immediately following Tribal Council.
I like that.
I think I like this, too.
I like that.
I think I like this, too.
Is it, like, gladiator style?
I don't know. But I think we need to up the challenges. Like, it's a little anticlimactic to play shuffleboard.
There's
or
too much
tiddlywinks.
Luck. There's too much luck.
Yeah. Well, what was the lucky challenge that they had? I don't know if there's too much luck. Have they had one that you felt like was too much based on luck?
No, I made that up.
No. But there shouldn't be any luck.
No luck.
We don't want any luck. So then he says, so grab your torch and head to the arena. Holy cow, it was a blindside. This girl's mind is going to be in a million different directions. She's shattered emotionally. Will she be able to regain her composure from the grueling challenge that awaits? Does she possess the strength or will to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat? It's dark and the newest loser enters one of the field. Awaiting them at the other end of the arena is the torchlit of the battle-hardened veteran of the previous blindside. So that's what he likes. Pretty amazing, right? No more 13 people living on Redemption Island, playing Jesus Camp with each other. One winner, the only exile. I realize they'll need to do a few double tribal council episodes because of how the numbers work, but from people medevacs for medical reasons. But that's even more badass because then they have to have triple elimination matches. No more the top 6 or 7 people here get to stay. He says that's BS. Win this bitch or go home, loser.
Okay. Is that what Probst is going to say?
yes. So what do you think? Do you like this reworking of Redemption Island?
Yes, I do.
So it's pretty good. I think it does screw with the long time pacing of the show of Tribal Council as the last act of the show.
Well, but maybe the first act is of the next show is the duel.
Okay, so you still want to see. Okay, so I even like your idea.
Yeah.
Although it's not the same episode. I still like it. I still like it better than what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, it starts the momentum going strong in the
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, for selfish reasons, I haven't enjoyed doing the exit interviews this season as much as last season, where it's like, oh, Marty got voted out there. We'll talk to Marty tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Whereas it's like, okay, well, like, you have somebody like, okay, well, Ralph got voted out. Was it only last week? Was it 2 weeks? It was like 2 weeks ago Ralph got voted out.
Yeah.
So he got voted out 2 weeks ago, and I was like, we got to try to remember things to ask Ralph about. You know, it's just like, you don't even necessarily have to watch the episode from last night. Like, okay, let me watch the 5 minutes that Ralph is on.
Yeah.
And now we're talking about stuff that happened a while ago.
Yeah.
Gotta keep asking everybody what it was like when they played with Russell.
Yeah, imagine.
That's probably indicative of this season more than anything, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, and with the challenges, I want to see more immunity style challenges where there's a lot more like physicality.
Well, I guess because they have to play them in this Redemption Island basketball court or whatever.
I mean, like, they could build something.
Yeah,
like they could climb like
sumo
up
wrestling.
And then, you know, have to dive down something.
Something. They could do something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see about that. Speaking of exit interviews, though.
Yes.
We are on schedule on Monday that we are going to talk to a number of the contestants from this season.
Mm-hmm.
People that got voted off in that same show.
Yes.
On Monday. We will be talking to them, or on Sunday night. We're going to talk to them on Monday. I don't know the schedule. I don't know the order. And frankly, there's 8 people that are still in the game. So I don't know how they're going to break this up. I don't know if they're going to try to do them all on Monday. But we're gonna try to bring you Boston Rob, and if for whatever reason, like let's say he wins the game and then he doesn't do all the interviews or whatever, I don't think he's gonna snub us.
And I don't think he's gonna purposely.
I don't think
snub
he's gonna purposely.
He's not gonna hance us.
He's not gonna hance it.
Yeah.
And if for whatever reason we don't get to talk to Boston Rob,
we probably will eventually.
I will try my hardest to bring you Boston Rob over the summer.
Yes.
And you have my word on that.
Oh.
My word means nothing. It's not like one of these, Boston Rob promises. No, this is for real. All right, so this is from Marty Love. So be on the lookout for that on Monday.
Okay.
So we do live show on Sunday night. Then we're going to do have a bunch of interviews with the survivors on Monday.
Uh-huh.
And maybe that might go over into Tuesday.
Oh, my goodness.
And I have a couple of other
surprises.
I've got a couple of other you know, people that I want to talk to after the finale.
Right.
Not people from this season, but people who cover Survivor. Mm-hmm. And so we'll do it all.
Yeah.
Plenty of podcasts. Don't unsubscribe just because Survivor's ending. Mm-hmm. All right? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and give us ideas of what you want to hear over the summer.
Yeah. Well, we'll get more into that after once Survivor is, we clear the decks of Survivor.
Okay, cool.
And Marty Lublin writes, Marty Lublin, he's tracking all the live tweeters.
Okay.
Giving us all the updates so we don't have to. It's all on the side of robhasawebsite.com.
Okay.
In the widget.
Uh-huh.
Or you can follow the list. So all the live tweeters. So he's got some highlights for us from Marty Lublin. Host host of the Traveling Wheel of Fortune, Marty Loveland.
Yes, we watched the reel today.
we watched the video. So Marty Loveland says Rob's has a podcast live retweeter. Did you know there was a retweeter?
I did.
Who retweets?
Yes.
So you could just follow the retweeter if they're doing a good job.
And if a tweet is good enough, he's going to retweet it.
Yeah. So he says, for all of the Rob Has a Podcast fans, I will be retweeting some of the best live tweets, but not live. So check this out if you are a lazy tweet reader.
Oh.
All right. So Marty, sometimes he writes these out sort of like a play.
Okay.
So he says the guest judge this week is Jeff Probst, who judged the live tweets.
Okay.
Jeff, tell the tweeters what we are looking for today. And Jeff says, you have one shot, one chance, one tweet. Lose yourself in the tweet the moment you own it. Since the tweeters and listeners missed Nicole last week, we have a tweet from Nicole, from Nicole's Martini, and a tweet about shoes.
Oh, okay.
All right, you ready for this?
Ready.
For the trifecta? This is my favorite tweet of the week. I'm not sucking kneecaps. I wrote about it in my Rob C. TV idea. this is from Nicole Loves Shoes,
which
who wrote, nervous at Rob Sesternino is picking out my outfit. I'm either going to look like a big whore or a homeless person. Let's hope it's not the latter.
Oh, and it was big whore.
Yeah. Look, we weren't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm. It's for our own entertainment.
Yeah, and I'll dress Nicole like a homeless person if I want to.
Yes, that's if I'm going out with the girls.
All right, this is from another new tweeter that Marty highlights this week. At Nicole's Martini, who wrote, Nicole's Martini says, everybody always asks, so I'll just say it, the olives are real.
Yeah.
Clink.
And they are.
And then they're spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
And then Survivor Andrea tweeted about shoes.
Oh.
Andrea Bulk. We still don't know how to pronounce that.
Yeah, that's fine.
And as some of you guys have pointed out, pronunciation is not my strong suit.
Amongst others.
I love it when the heel of my brand new shoe breaks. Morale. What is that? Morale.
She's mad.
Well, Marty says, Andrea said morale. What does that mean? I did not watch tonight's show, but I wonder when Andrea eliminated, will she say morale? It's my favorite new word. You have Ding, Buzz, and he wants to make his hashtag morale.
Okay. Maybe that's Steven's hashtag.
He also says, shout out to Rob Has a Tweet Fan.
Uh-huh.
The podcast is trying to get to 100 followers by the finale.
Okay. So everybody follow him.
So maybe and probably be live tweeting the finale. I bet some of the live tweeters will also be live tweeting the finale.
Some of the live tweeters are.
And we'll be live tweeting the finale as well.
Yeah.
So it's lots of fun, and some other live tweeters that came into the world this week.
They were born.
That were born this week. There's a at Rob Sucks Kneecaps with a S-U-X.
Yes.
At Rob's Taboo Buzzer.
Uh-huh.
And at Jesus Watches TV. Who is?
I like at Jesus Watches TV. He's really funny.
He is pretty funny.
Yeah.
There may be more, but that's all I got for you now. Got nothing else for you. So, thank you, Marty.
Yeah, that was good.
He's really keeping an eye on the live tweeters.
Mm-hmm. Someone has to.
So we don't have to. And now, number two from Matteo von Podfelder, one of my other favorite commenters.
Yes.
He writes, Dear Rob, we talked about last week whether we should have God as a guest on the podcast.
I bet he's busy.
Well, he says, Dear Rob, please do not have God as a guest on the podcast. He will Nicole like it's nobody's business. Also, his votes for the Survivor Hall of Fame were Vesepia, Dirk Bean, and Joanna Ward.
Uh-oh.
I mean, seriously, bro, what a D-bag.
Oh.
Well, that wasn't nice. That,
yeah.
But
sometimes he is.
That is a pretty weak Survivor Hall of Fame ballot.
Yeah.
And I wonder if Matt Elrod and Mike Cheezel will be on the list.
Yeah. Dear God.
It is a pretty weak weak sauce.
All
right, here we go. And the number one comment of the week comes from Steven Drabeck.
Okay.
You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
He says, I have to say, I am enjoying the fact that you guys have turned Rob Has a Podcast into a show within a show, almost taking it to the level of water cooler talk, like The Celebrity Apprentice. In addition to Rob and Nicole being the two most entertaining podcast personalities ever, and we can assume Stephen Drabek does not listen to many podcasts.
Or he does.
We also have Reyes the dog and Rob's podcast Belle turning into fully fleshed out characters who devote a good portion of the show gossiping about their Twitter escapades. We have Frank Clark, the most polarizing public figure since Sarah Palin, who is a true rags to riches story. He began as a random nobody in the world of online commenting and somehow catapulted himself into a legitimate commenter, going toe-to-toe with Rob himself.
Uh-oh.
Other notable subplots include how many attractive Survivor women will say David Healy's name before he can die happy? Plus the legendary John Fincher, will he ever find love with a fellow castaway? How much longer until the podcast Bell says something so offensive that it starts a Twitter war? I don't know about you guys, but I'm already waiting for the next episode to find out. And Matteo von Podfelder, then he replied, can someone please start a podcast to discuss the latest Rob Has a Podcast episodes? Now, I think that...
That might be too much.
Might be too much.
Mm-hmm.
Who would host the Rob Has a Podcast podcast?
Hmm. Would Frank Clark have to?
I don't know, but I feel like that the Rob Has a podcast would have a lot to say about Frank Clark.
That's
and I think
true.
That he would be... That he wouldn't be good as the host.
Yes. And that for the girl, you know, there has to be a girl. I would say Natalie, but I think she's left us.
Natalie Tenorelli?
No, Natalie are...
I think it should be Natalie Tenorelli and Ashley.
Yes.
That's what I think.
Well, we can learn about armpit hair and
that would be,
unclogging pores.
That would be all very good. Actually, what I don't know if a podcast makes a lot of sense, a podcast about a podcast, but I do feel like we need a wiki. You know what a wiki is?
Wiki.
Yes, it's that. it's sort of a Wikipedia of Rob as a podcast. Maybe that might be, and then we can link to it, and aww, then people can like people start listening to the show.
I had a wiki once.
What? Yeah. What does that mean?
I had a Wikipedia once.
You had a Wikipedia of what?
Of me.
Of you?
Yes.
A Nicole Wikipedia?
Someone made a Wikipedia.
Not a Wikipedia. Not actually on Wikipedia. It's its own Wikipedia. It's its own encyclopedia. Like, what I'm worried about...
Okay, but I still had a Wikipedia.
You had a Wikipedia entry.
Yes.
Well, now you have an Akinator page.
Okay, but my Wikipedia was deleted because I was... what was it? Oh, insignificant.
Oh. Oh, okay. If the shoe fits.
Yeah. Oh.
So... I'm worried that if enough stuff, you know, the sucking kneecaps and all these things, I'm worried that we might get too far out there that a new listener won't be able to catch up. They'll be talking about David Healy and sucking kneecaps.
But you know, we drill these jokes into the ground.
And pomade and all these things. I'm worried that maybe we might get too far away from the regular English language and could turn people off.
I say let's go for it.
What?
The wiki.
We'll go for a wiki. All right. So maybe at some point down the road, maybe we're not even there yet.
We're there. Are we there yet?
Are we there yet? Thank you, Ice Cube. Anyway, so that feels like a Survivor podcast.
Yes,
and
it does.
And in fairness, it probably seems like 20 minutes too long of a Survivor podcast.
Probably.
Probably. That's me commenting on my own podcast.
Yeah.
Anyway, so.
So who are we endorsing? We never decided.
Oh, fuck. I feel like it should be Philip. I mean, I have
will
a strong
not.
Feeling.
Nope.
No, who do you endorse? A lot of dead air right here.
I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I like Francesca.
You like from?
But I think it's a long shot.
Yeah, you can. Let's be a little realistic.
Can I tell you what I'm thinking?
Okay.
I think she's a long shot.
Right.
Boston Rob, I think, is going to win. But if he wins the show, he shouldn't win.
Mm-hmm.
So do we endorse that?
I feel like if Boston Rob doesn't win, he should get the fan favorite.
Absolutely.
But he's going to get the fan favorite anyway, and it's going to be a matter of if he wins the game or not.
So should we endorse someone else?
That's what I endorsed Philip already.
We can't endorse Philip.
I've already done it. It's
no.
been done.
No one, they're all going to yell at you.
That's fine. They yell at me all the time.
That's true.
So I've endorsed Philip already.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's not going to get it, but I've endorsed him.
Okay.
And unlike Steven, I don't want to piss off Philip. He's a federal agent.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like pomade.
He doesn't like it. Anyway, so we will be back. Are there any other podcasts to do before? And then we'll figure out when to do Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah.
So this may be the last time you hear from us before the finale.
Probably.
And then we'll be live tweeting and podcasting directly after the finale. Interviews on Monday, the whole nine yards, and we're going to cover...
Busy, busy, busy.
Right. We're going to cover this finale eight ways till Sunday.
Yes.
All right. Until next time, everybody.
Got nothing for you.
Take care.
Steven, get back in the closet.